The Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Okay, we're back. So why don't we go to our first caller? We have Harvey in Manhattan.
Good afternoon, gentlepersons. How are you both?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. First, I just want to say that I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior.
All right.
And my question is about my little boy. He hangs out with other little boys, and they taunt each other about each other's religions, and there are occasions where I'll go into his room, and I'll find him literally, practically eating his own BM while he's listening to the Don and Mike Show. And I was wondering if you think this is healthy for little boys to be doing this sort of thing.
How old is your boy?
He's 27.
Where's your BM detector now, see?
Oh, I don't know how you got that call through. I gotta hang up on this guy. You know, we used to use a delay for morons. You know what? I haven't had a call like that in years because of call identifying. You'd think that the morons were gone.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in this company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
Don't give me your problem.
Welcome. Welcome.
Someone called for doctors.
Welcome. Welcome. Welcome.
There's no way. No way that you could come from my loins. As soon as I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is punch your mama in the mouth.
Okay. Hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the Bakersfield Science Building. Great.
They're at it again.
Take it easy, honey. After all, we never see them.
It's almost worse this way. Just hear them.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is Furio Junta from The Sopranos. I never listen to you. Goodbye.
Let's go to D.C. and Garrison's on the line. What say you, Garrison?
Hey, O'Reilly. How you doing?
Good.
I would have to give Person of the Year to a man that's led, to a man that stuck up for what he believed in, to a man that backs down from no challenge. That would have to be Don Geronimo of the Don and Mike Show.
Don Geronimo of the Don and Mike Show. Now, are you related to this guy?
What's that?
Are you related to him? Do you know him?
No.
Did he give you a car?
No.
Because Garrison, on the screen here, it has Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, I changed my mind.
Oh, you did not. You wanted to give this guy a plug, Garrison. We know where you live. We're going to come over to your house tonight and take a reprisal again. But it'll be a gentle reprisal. We'll probably force you to wash our car. What say you, Donald? You go right ahead and make out in front of my 3-year-old daughter. Go right ahead and do that. Michael, what say you?
What's going to stop me from coming in with a load of heroin, setting up a little stand, and selling it to anybody who wants to come through?
Ding, 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 ding,
bam 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 bam
Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Roger don't know could fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
And now the guys that were driving. They were driving those little mini race cars.
Those weren't race cars, Don.
Think about it, Mike. They were race cars. Race cars. I said race cars like Johnny Cochran.
It's the true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Your discretion advised.
Someone call for a doctor?
Although when you think about it, when you get together with Rob for an evening of poker,
yeah,
he always plays the race card.
Always has, always will.
That's true.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs.
Rocket Body.
And all the ships at sea. Broadcasting cruelty as naked as Charlie Roy Hill's unsheathed penis. It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie. And hello, and thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike show. New episode on this Friday.
March 14th.
From America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, except for French Canadians, 800-636-1067 in Washington, D.C. Your special number is 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi. Welcome.
Okay.
Welcome.
Someone call for a doctor?
Welcome.
Thank you. All right. Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. Well, let me just say once again, I know we said this whenever we have the opportunity to be away from the show,
right.
or you know, I guess Mike gets it a lot because he comes to work later than I do, generally, and hits more traffic, I'm guessing, because of the time. But today, Jesus Christ, how do you people drive in this soup every day? And normally it's a clean 30-minute shot from me from front door to front door, from my home to the radio station. Today, 1 hour and 48 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Got on the Beltway. 66 was backed up all the way to the Beltway. Had to bypass that. Got on Route 50. Everybody that was on 66 got on Route 50 at the same time. And I understand Mike has the reason for these backups, and they are.
I'm not sure whether it's everywhere, but they are repairing the roads. They are filling in the potholes. They are on the highways, and they are getting these potholes that are urgently in need of repair.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for that. God knows. Mm-hmm. I've been swallowed up by some of them. But don't do it on a Friday afternoon. Man, Jack, when everybody's trying to get out of town.
You know, where's everybody going? Where the F is everybody going today?
Away. Don't they know that everybody's working for the weekend?
You know, I was having a discussion with somebody the other night, and I was saying, we were saying, I am surprised, really, and I commend the people of our metropolis here, that there are not more fatal shootings on the highways and byways.
Really?
Because really, to deal with that every day, it also makes me understand why this show is successful, because you know what? This is the kind of thing that is not like just listening. Music doesn't do it.
No.
Music doesn't take care of it.
No.
No, and I found myself very aggravated. I was listening to some good jams in my car.
It only lasts so long.
Yeah, I had that, though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, diamonds in the bank, sun rooftop, digging the scene, do the gangster lean, gangster white walls. That lasted about 15 minutes.
And then you get burned out on it, and if you're going over the hour mark, you know, a buddy of mine was telling me that he works sometimes down near the Naval Yard down in Anacostia, mm-hmm. works for the government. Mm-hmm. His record is 3 hours and 8 minutes getting out to the burbs.
Wow.
Let me just say to all of the people, it's not only in the D.C. area, up and down the East Coast, wherever we've had these bad snows, and now there are giant potholes,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for fixing the potholes, but
don't you dare do it on a Friday. Because as you know, weekend, for a lot of people, 48 hours of nonstop partying, our story starts as we are.
We need a drum. We're working for it.
We need pots and pans in the back. Are we 70?
hours of non-stop fun.
Yeah.
This is what traffic should sound like on a Friday afternoon. Anyway, hats off to you people. I really have no idea how you secure it.
This guy's still ready for the weekend.
Now there's two cars racing.
Anyway, not really. I still say this is Rob and his friend Brad.
Not really sure exactly how you guys do it every day. I just got a taste of it today, just a small taste of what it must be like every day. And Jesus effing Christ, you know, you put that along with the parents meet. You know, the last thing I had before I went to bed last night was one of the, fortunately my kid is a senior at the high school now, but one of the last parents meetings that we're going to have to go to. And I would even get, I won't even get into that, except to say that there's an awful lot of parents out there that think the school should be the babysitter for the children.
Wow.
There were an awful lot of parents in this room that I was in last night who didn't want to accept responsibility for their kids.
Wow.
Like, very upset that, well, I can't get into it, but, you know, that kids are kids,
yeah,
and that stuff that they do away from the school area because they're doing it with their chums from school. You know, it was a whole big, you know, they give you the speech when your kid is going to college,
mm-hmm, right,
about how, you know, it's a time when all the kids are going to be getting out and getting on their own, and we're concerned about the fact that there's been some partying, and you know, all the parents are like looking around going, not my kid,
right,
not my kid. And then, you know, some ass puts his hand up and says, I thought that's what the school was for. And hold on, hello, douche. And I know that I embarrassed the hell out of my wife, because at one point I'm sitting there just listening to this, just looking around the room at all these parents, you know, champions of industry, all of them,
mm-hmm,
each of them wearing their grown-up clothes.
Right.
You know, with their honor.
Were you the only one that was dressed like a gangster?
Yeah. You know, they all are the guys that have the shirts with their initials sewn on the sleeve,
mm-hmm,
those types, and all of the moms, you know, Frida included, you know, they look like they walk off the set of The View, and at one point they're going back and forth to the principal. I mean, he's just standing up there having this pedestrian meeting with the parents, like saying, listen, we're just talking about some of the things your kids are exposed to, and you know, they're going to be going to college soon. And the angry mob turns on him with all these parents, and all of them wanting to say, well, it's not my fault, and my kid's one of the good ones, and why don't you do something about the bad kids? And
right,
you know, at my house, and finally I could stand it no more, and I threw my hand up, and he looked my way, and I turned, and wow, talk about feeling some hate from these other parents.
Wow.
I said, just my humble opinion that we should all take responsibility for our own kids.
Amen.
That, mm-hmm, you know, if our kids screw up, it's our fault.
Okay. Yeah.
And then this was the dagger, just the absolute dagger, that at one point when the guidance counselor, the guy who's writing the recommendations for the seniors to get into college, got up there to speak, he pointed at me and said, what I said was right on point.
Mm-hmm.
And
uh-oh,
while at one moment I felt proud,
sure,
I was looking at the...
You felt the eyes, did you?
Oh, my God, did I feel the eyes of,
wow,
of the other parents that were looking at me like, well, you... You douche.
Right on
you,
point.
You dumb douche.
Well, you couldn't... You weren't the only one that felt that way. I mean, did any of the parents agree with you about that? I mean, that's...
Nope.
Really?
Uh-uh. A lone voice in the wilderness.
Or they were afraid to say so.
Lone voice in the wilderness. No, you know, there's a lot of them that were
sitting.
It was the whole thing. As soon as somebody would, there was one guy in particular that really just had a super boner against the school, mm-hmm, and saying, you know, well, you got to do more to protect my kid, and you know, he wasn't, hey, Jack, your kid's in school 8 hours a day.
And really, at that age and that age group, and you go away somewhere, isn't the idea to be you know, avoiding supervision at all costs.
You know, think about...
And provide all the supervision in the world, but, you know, come on, the kid.
And that's part of what I said. I said, the reason we're having this meeting is in 3 months, they're going to be out of our hair. We're not going to have any control over what they do.
My 82-year-old mom would disagree with that. You know, that you actually, that's the big myth, you know, that at 18 they fly the nest and they go to school, but it's like, it's forever. Because then they're going to get, you're going to deal with their college stuff and then they're going to deal with their, you know, their relationships and all that stuff.
But all I know is, you know, it's different though than high school.
You're still planning the party though?
It's different in high school and now, of course, just, you know, it's not like when you and I were kids. Where our moms, and I'm sure you find this out with your girls, where the mom or dads just put the kid on the bus and say, goodbye, see you, Johnny. And then you were gone, and, you know, you did whatever you did. And then, you know, 18 years later, you graduated. Now there's a goddamn meeting at this kid's, my kid's school. I mean, my wife has gone to the majority of these meetings.
It seems to me, and I know, you know, everybody that's got kids in school nowadays, that there is so much more. And I don't know, maybe my parents would disagree with me about this. It seems to me there's so much more interaction and so much more responsibility as far as, you know, having, you know, you have to be at this meeting, you have to be at this meeting, you have to be at this meeting. It's just, you know, I do remember when I was a kid going to public school, you know, they throw you on the bus. You have maybe one a year, you know, a little parent-teacher conference.
Yeah, and you'd be lucky if one of your parents went.
And then that's it, you know. Now it's just like, you know, you have to be here for this, and
so,
I need this. And
no, it went right from the show right to there last night. I was highly aggravated during this whole goddamn meeting. It was supposed to be 7:30 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
But it ended up being 7:30 to 9:45, and they never even got to half the agenda they wanted to.
Wow.
Because of all the dickhead parents that kept interrupting the principal. And the principal kept saying, if you want to discuss this with me, I have an open door policy.
Yeah.
You can come to my office anytime. And then, you know, the guy would say, but I want to bring it up in this forum now with all the other parents here. Why are you avoiding my questions? Why are you avoiding the issue? And I'm just sitting there going, thank God this is the last year that my kid's going to be at least in high school.
Really? I think it mirrors society in general. You got everybody, you know, is under so much pressure. And I think the parents are under more pressure, the kids are under more pressure, the administrators are under more pressure. We're all
Correct.
Starting to go nuts. Mm-hmm. We're all slowly starting. And look at look at the traffic we have out there.
And
I wish we were all just trading beaver pelts.
And couple that with the fact that the parents are so busy that they want to complain on their time. They don't want to make another trip back to the school
Sure. For
a one-on-one. They'd like their problem to be dealt with right now.
Post-haste.
So
you know, I had that last night, and I was steamed about that last night. And I got up today, and things were okay today, and then until I got in the car,
yeah.
I was steamed about this effing traffic today.
Right.
Man, would I have loved to run over some of those parents today, though, and that stop and go that I was in.
Now, I know, you know, you always talk about being late to the party on things, and I'm having a problem. I'm having a real problem because I got this game. The game is new. The actual machine is old, the PS2, the PlayStation 2. But the game, The Getaway, has been advertised recently, and I am having an enormous problem with this game. You know, I used to hear people would go to a movie where there'd be a lot of chase scenes, and you would see people, they say people are subliminally affected where they will drive like hell out of the parking lot. They'll project themselves into this.
Sure.
Well, you take those video games, and this one in particular, where there's a tremendous amount of driving involved, driving where you can have 90,000 mile an hour head-on collisions and still survive, and I'm finding myself, it's affecting my driving.
Wow.
It's affecting my driving when I'm
coming
up. Don't
get Grand Theft Auto 2.
I have that. I have Grand Theft Auto 3.
You have Vice City?
I have Vice City. And I'll tell you, but the Getaway, this one is
the game where you can run over hookers. Like a hooker comes up to your car, you can tell her she can get in, and then if you change your mind, you can just either shoot her or run her over.
Oh, that's nice.
This one really is, I have found now that I've played the game for a while. First of all, it is I've never seen it. I know Grand Theft Auto is violent. This thing, it takes place in the London underworld. So they all have these Cockney accents where that, all right, Jake, get on, we're going to torture him. And there's this one thing where a guy's dancing and he's got an electrode on the end of his hand and he's shocking the guy that they're killing, and then you have to dump the body at the other gang's headquarters. And I have discovered that really, when I'm really being pursued by two groups of gangsters and the police, that the quickest way for me to get away, the quickest way for me to reach my objective is to pull the car up on the sidewalk where you are hitting pedestrians like bowling pins. And then you'll be going along and you'll have a complete head-on collision, and you know your engine might smoke a little bit, but you dust yourself off, or you hop out and blow somebody away with your AK-47, and you get back in.
God.
But I played it the other day.
Oh, it's
right
a lot of fun, Buzz.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's, I mean, it's captivating. But, well, it gets your tension out.
Adrenaline.
But
yeah.
I found myself playing it right up at the time I left for work, and I got into the car, and as soon as I got on the highway, I found myself like, coming up on people like I am on the streets of London, and I was like, whoa, slow down. Because, I mean, really, if you get into a head-on collision, you'll die.
Yes.
Yeah, you got to remember that.
Think so?
Jesus Christ.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello there.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, you're on the air. Hello.
Radio God.
Howdy.
Happy Man Day.
Right, well, yeah. Happy Man Day, if we're going to go with that. Happy Man Day.
But I was calling about the traffic down here in Philadelphia. I listened to you on YSP.
Right on.
This morning, there was every road that we turned onto. I'm a carpet cleaner. I'm on the road all day long.
Right.
It took us an hour and 45 minutes to get a half an hour away from our shop. And this is every single Friday where they call for warm weather, which is the third Friday now in the past four. The traffic is completely backed up every single morning.
And that's their new thing, too. That's their new thing, the forecasters. I mean, they're going to say, hey, it's going to be absolutely glorious. Well, it's not really glorious yet.
And, you know, they've changed the forecast, incidentally. It was supposed to be, they were saying by the end of the week it was going to be in the 70s.
It's going to be a spectacular weekend. Mm-hmm. Spring will be here. Spring will be. And now what are they saying? Rain.
50 with a chance of rain.
Get rain and wind all weekend.
All right.
But every time they say it's sunny, it's everyone rushes to work every Friday like it's going to bring Saturday faster. These are the actions that we see every weekend.
You got that right.
That is so true. They rush to work on Friday like it'll bring Saturday faster.
Listen, I know we've done this rant before, so I'll keep this one brief. But earlier in the day, I was at the Exxon, and I did that thing where I got the cheapy car wash, and I didn't mind sitting in line, you know, waiting my turn. There was like six cars ahead of me.
You got your car washed today.
Yeah.
You and everyone else. Everyone. I mean, millions of people today going, car wash day.
Well, Mike, what?
Car wash day. It was
today, man.
You did the line over at the embassy. I thought about it, and I went by, and it's just like, it's amazing.
You know,
today.
I was filling up with gas, and I counted the cars, and there's only four cars ahead of me, so
that's not bad.
I did that thing, you know, that you've done too, where I didn't fill up all the way because I saw other people pulling in.
Sure, the car wash is the priority, not the fill up.
I put in like $10 a gas, and incidentally, what a bargain that is! Like at $1.95 a gallon, and I wait for the thing to print out the little code. I rip it off, and I pull up behind the guy. And here's my complaint, and it's not the one, not the normal one, about people who can't figure out how to drive in and put their wheel on the thing so it says stop.
Right.
Because there was a guy that said pull forward, and then it said back up and pull forward. Here's the deal. When you're at one of these car washes, when you're pulling in, when the guy in front of you is to the end of the car wash, when the automatic BJ is happening, when the big blowers go on.
Right.
The light outside says enter because it's safe for the car behind him to come in and start the wash procedure as the other guy is driving out while getting the...
So your outside light, as you're waiting to go into the little garage, says go?
Yes, and there were two people in front of me that refused to go.
So the other car had completely cleared the garage?
And one of the idiots was the guy with the back up, pull forward. And then the guy, when he was going through those hair dryers that they allegedly dry your car with, they only last for 30 seconds.
Right.
And there's a timer on the one at the Exxon I go to that actually counts down, lets you know you only have 30 seconds. So this guy, as he's going through, he's backing his car back up, pulling it forward, backing it up, pulling it forward.
Not hitting the little slot.
No, this because what he wants, this is after he's already been through the wash.
Oh.
He's down at the end by where they have...
Oh, he's trying to get a little extra dry time.
Yeah, and what you should do is just, you know, you time it out. You go, okay, 5 seconds for the front of the car, 10 seconds for the middle of the car.
So it doesn't move automatically. You have to drive through it.
Right. But
isn't it designed really for you just to slowly drive through it?
Yes.
And you're done, and your car's really not going to be dry.
No, and that's why they have a timer there.
Right.
So you can gauge, well, this moron was going up a little bit, then I go, uh-oh, my hood's not dry. So he'd back it up.
Oh, my God.
And that flipped out the guy behind him who was afraid to drive in.
Because he saw this guy doing this.
Yeah. But meanwhile, even if this guy
had pulled in, he had plenty of space to pull in and start the undercarriage and all that other crap.
You know, if you were in The Getaway, that video game, you'd get out with your AK-47 and then you just push their cars out of the garage.
Boy, was I ready. Boy, was I ready. You know, I mean, that's a simple thing.
Yeah, well.
You know, and here's just one more, and then I promise I'll stop.
We're underserviced by car washes in the Washington area, mm-hmm. so we don't have enough of them.
Here's just one more I'll tell you. Anybody going to one of those cheapies that's with an Exxon or a Shell station? You realize, while the car in front of you is being washed, while it's in that little garage thing, you can push your code in while the car is in there. You don't have to wait until the car that's being washed is already washed and left to punch the code in. I mean, I know it's a small thing. And
I don't think you should ever be in line with more than four cars.
And it only saves, you know, like a minute or something.
Right.
But really, right. You can punch the code in and it just says, thank you, please wait until the car wash is available.
It, to me, and it's not the regular washes, but the gas station cheapo car washes like you're talking about, is one of the worst waits in the world. It takes so much time. It seems you have the illusion in the big car washes of everybody's kind of moving and there's a flow to it. In those little garage car washes where everybody has to stop.
You're screwed.
Back and forth. It's a real drag.
Okay. And I promise last time I'll say one more thing. If you're in one of those lines, as I was today, with four cars in front of me, and by the time I got up there, I counted there were eight cars behind me, those poor saps. Please, don't get out of your car to go inside the gas station to buy water or something.
Right.
Now, I realize that you're not... let's say there are two cars in front of you. And you're really not going to be... You do have, I guess...
Even if it doesn't affect the time, is what you're saying. I know exactly what you're talking
about. Don't get out of your goddamn car to go in there to buy a water.
Because you think, with the way your mind is working, the urgency that you're feeling, that somehow it is going to affect the time, and the car wash will speed up, and all of a sudden there'll be a car sitting there that won't be moving forward.
And you're going, wait, where's the lady with the minivan?
Right.
Oh, that's right. She had to get her latte.
Right.
Jesus.
Others...
Yes. Thank you, Mike.
Really, I agree with you.
Thank you, Mike.
It's selfish. It's totally selfish. Mm-hmm. It's stressing out. And it's not because you're really going to slow down the process.
Right.
You're going to stress out the people in back of you who think maybe there's a chance that you won't make it out of time to move your car forward when the time comes.
Hello. I know. Don and Mike.
You hate people.
Don and Mike, radio guys.
Hello. Did you just say you hate people?
I do hate people. I've always said that. I really, really do. Rob, I know you're with me on this, but it's just especially this time of year. We're coming out of the worst time of the year right now. Everybody's starting to get a little antsy, and it's like that carpet cleaner said. They get to work early so Saturday will come faster.
Weatherman said it was going to be 70 degrees. It's really going to be 50, but it's the weekend.
Baby.
Yeah, hi. We just chill.
Hey, Dom, I got a record for you.
Okay.
All right. Greenville to Hagerstown on a Friday evening in rain. 4 hours and 20 minutes.
You know what? I am amazed.
How come you haven't committed suicide?
That is just... On a Friday?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Insanity.
What is wrong?
You know what? Your Friday is... Not only is your Friday ruined, but probably a good part of your weekend. That would probably wreck your mood for a good part of Saturday.
What is wrong with people?
God.
How come more people can't be like you and me?
I understand. Just chill. Right, like we do.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Don Mike.
Yeah.
Don Buzz.
Howdy.
What up?
Hi.
Hey, Don. I just want to congratulate you and give you an old hell yeah about standing up for everybody. Standing up for your kids.
I'm not standing for my kid. My kid's, he's a good kid. But, this whole thing at school last night was just goddamn ridiculous. That it's a meeting for the parents, you know, where we're supposed to sit and listen to the principal and the counselor.
Right.
And it turns into this adversarial thing with, like, how come you're not doing this for my son?
Mm-hmm.
How come? And all the moms there... Well, I'm so glad I can say this because my kid's going to be out of the school very soon. You want to know what the moms were like? My wonderful wife excluded, of course.
We'll see you at commencement.
You want to rent the movie, and I know it's an awful movie, but you want to rent the movie Dr. T and the women.
That's the kind of women that we're dealing with here.
Well, there was one in particular, a family that I believe had just moved from Texas to the D.C. area.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, this has been a very informative discussion. I was just thinking, though, my son is a good boy, and really, he would never do anything wrong, and I don't know why all of the parents are not brought in. How come this is not assembly for the entire school to be hearing? It's like going, turn around.
It's like she's like competing in a pageant.
Yeah. Listen, what was it? Sue Ann Ewing or whatever. What was JR's wife's name?
Fine, Sue Ann Ewing works for me.
You know, listen, Sue Ann, shut the frig up with your big bouffant hairdo. Just shut up. Here's the drill. You sit there and you listen to the principal. God knows we're paying a king's ransom for our kids to go to the school to begin with. So just listen to what the guy has to say. And it's real simple. Do your part at home. Your part at home.
Take responsibility for your kids.
No, and here's, you know, the other thing that they were talking about was, of course, with spring break, and then you've got senior week coming up. And they were talking about how in the past, and I know this happens at schools all over the country, that the parents, some parents will sponsor a party for their kids,
yep.
And the parents will allow the kids to have beer,
yep.
Or, you know, or hired liquor, whatever the case is. And
Jack Daniels in the case of some parents.
Whatever. And
what parents what parents are allowing hard liquor? Not hard liquor. You just made it sound like, you know. Okay, listen. At Timmy's parents' house, they're going to have, well, you can have a beer or two. If you go over to Johnny's parents' house, you're going to be able to get scotch.
Son, be moderate with the gin.
I hadn't heard of that
This principal, he's saying, I just want all the senior parents to know that in the past, we've heard the stories after the fact about senior week parties,
right,
in which parents, you know, and I've heard this crap going. I know it goes on. Well, of course, you know, one of the self-righteous North Dallas 40 type moms sitting in the front row goes, I would like, you know, Petite raises her hand, and Gucci adorned and all that other crap. I would just like the names of those parents that are doing that, and I'd like you to announce those names, and I'd just like to slap them in the face. I'd like to know who these parents are, because I will tell you this, they are not the parents that are in this room tonight. And then everybody, yay,
yes, bravo.
Yes, bravo, yes, we're the good parents. We're here in the room tonight, yay.
Hard liquor, yay.
Good for us.
Yeah, it's a strange situation.
Sure is.
And it's a tough time, I guess, for all parents, as you know, as the kids are coming of age, and it used to be of age, and you know, the whole thing with 18 and 21. I mean, you know, and yeah, parents do that. I mean, I'm sure that you know, I know that my niece and my sister, they you know, when she got to be 18 years old, you know, she'd have a glass of wine once in a while. I mean, that was done.
No, one of the parents, one of the many, many morons that was there last night, says, here's what I don't understand. And I apologize, because they weren't all speaking with this accent, but it works in this context.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to France many times, and in France, the youngsters sit around the table and enjoy a glass or two of wine with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't seem to have the problems that we have here in America.
There's a lesson there.
And, well, the principal said, do you know that France has the highest rate of alcoholism in the world?
Is it really? Oh, man, what a zinger, though. That's a great zinger.
She said, well, I did not know that.
Pretty good time to bring up France, too, in the meeting.
Yeah.
Pretty good climate in the United States to bring up France.
They're a good example.
Or maybe it was Spain. I don't know, it was either France or Spain. Whatever it was. It was
both.
You know, she was saying a European country. Mm-hmm. Well, they drink wine with their parents.
Why?
Why do you think that, you know, say, shut up. Shut up with your dumb hat. What kind of a woman wears a hat these days to a meeting, to a school meeting, to a goddamn meeting with a principal? You know, it's supposed to be one of those things where you're in a situation where you're going to a meeting, and it's like the adult is the child. You're just supposed to sit down and listen to what the principal says and what the guidance counselor says.
And what he said made sense? Did it make sense? Everything cool?
I've just got an instant message from my wife. Shut up.
Okay.
I will shut up. No problem. I will shut up about the whole thing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now she's writing, stop talking about this now. Done and done. Well, am I glad we're going on vacation next week? It's going to be a happy, happy time. Yeah. Oh, and have I mentioned my mother-in-law is coming with us?
All right.
All right.
Bonus.
Yeah, well, congratulations. You're going to have a good time.
It'll be nice.
Yeah.
Whole family together.
Yeah, well.
You'll have a wonderful time.
You know
what? And I know I'm not the most objective person to talk about the subject of alcohol. I will tell you, though, when you look at that traffic out there, where is everybody going? Please go to that cocktail.
They should be.
That toddy. They're all driving fast to get home to that toddy.
Let's see. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. You know the other thing that pisses me off, Don and Mike?
What?
You get in the drive-thru, and you know those signs, they say billions and billions served.
Yeah.
But it's like I always get behind the one guy. It's like he's never seen that menu before. He's got to take 10 minutes to order a freaking Big Mac.
Well, and really, wouldn't you say, though, that fast food service, and I think that's it's been reflected in the stock market, the prices of these big fast food companies. The service isn't what it used to be. When it was fast food, it started out, it was fast food.
I think you're talking about the guy who's ordering, though, right?
Yeah, the guy that's ordering.
But I'll say, let me just say on behalf of dumb people who take a long time, they have made it much more complicated now.
Right.
At a fast food restaurant. You can't just say, I want a hamburger and a Coke.
No, you have to say number one, number two, number three. You know.
And they always say, do you want to supersize it? Do
right.
you want a meal deal?
Yeah, just keep it simple.
Right. You know, here's another thing. When I go to McDonald's, I don't want a hot dog, okay? McDonald's, are you with me on this? I don't want pizza. I don't want a taco at McDonald's.
Don't you think you could start a competing fast food chain? You have the same kind of, you know, so they all make burgers, right? Mm-hmm. But you really emphasize the speed factor. You don't have any special orders.
There is such a place, and you know it.
Carl's Jr.
Every time we go to Los Angeles, they tell you, I don't know if they do it anymore, but back in the day, and even when Mike and I were there last time, Carl's Jr., and those of you on the West Coast know this, they used to have a guarantee that from the time you pulled up to the clown's face or whatever it is that you talk into,
right,
you had your food within 60 seconds.
It was Carl Reiner's face.
Or your meal was free.
Yeah, and it was good, too.
And
yeah.
I remember the first time, because there's that one by LAX, all the strip clubs.
And we'd get off the plane, and we'd be on the way to the hotel and stop by that one on the way to the hotel. And the first time, they had that guarantee. And, man, they beat it by 15, 20 seconds.
McDonald's, which continues to lose money, is adding now wireless internet service. Hey, here's an idea. Make better burgers faster.
Right.
You know, that's what we want when we go there.
We have officially, I think we can all agree, the single worst McDonald's restaurant.
The one right down the street.
On the corner down here. The idiots, I swear to God, I think it's like a penitentiary.
No, he's not retarded.
For bad McDonald's employees, they send them to that one.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you're right. And you know what McDonald's big press release was this week? They're very excited to announce they're going to start serving Paul Newman salad dressing.
That'll speed it up.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I wanted to kind of commiserate with the traffic thing. I'm on my way from Bel Air, Maryland to Potomac, Maryland, and I'm sitting in this garbage now on the Baltimore Beltway, and I've just gotten started.
This might really be, as far as the winter is concerned, this might be one of the worst traffic days, I think, on the Eastern Seaboard.
Get away!
This is supposed to be a real nice weekend. It's going to be in the 70s. No, we lied. It's only going to be 50 degrees.
Did we mention?
It's going to rain.
Hey, Don, I wanted to thank you for letting me know I'm not the only wacko who gets mad at morons in front of me at drive-thru car washes.
I thought
I was the only jerk in the world who got mad at that stuff, but clearly I'm not alone.
I really think, for sanity, someday, maybe a long time from now, maybe when we're underground, you're going to have people working. You really are going to have people working from home. This is nuts.
Yeah.
This can't be done anymore. My buddy just got, the guy that used to make the 3-hour commute, my friend Peter, he said that he actually now, he does most of his stuff at home. And so he leaves at about 10 o'clock, and then he leaves the office at about 2. And he's a changed individual. I mean, he's got that, and everybody.
But I need to get out of the house.
Yeah.
Dude, I need to get out of my house.
You know what you're going to have eventually someday? You'll have a separate part of your house that you go to that's just yours.
The dog wing.
No, but I like
getting away from there to come here to be with you guys.
You like to be antsy and get out. You get out. You get up early in the morning. Do that. Yeah. I like to sit around in my own stink. You know, really, I would do the show in my goddamn underwear if I could.
You'd do it here in your underwear. You try.
You could.
Someday, my, you know, a good graphic illustration. Wendell, our engineer here, lives in Laurel, Maryland. If he leaves the station at 6 or if he leaves at 7:30, he gets home at the same time.
Wow.
Because of traffic.
At 6 p.m. or 7:30
yeah,
p.m.
Yeah, I mean, he can stay around here for 90 minutes and it's the same.
Seriously? Someday I would do, after our little thing is over here, I would do a morning show.
Naked?
If I could get those, what do they call them, ISDN lines they put in your house?
Yeah. You could. Someone would do it for you.
I would do the show, and I S you not, I would do the show in bed. I would do the show. It was like
Dr. Don Rose. No. There was a guy. There was a guy that I knew. Anybody listening to us in San Francisco knows the great Dr. Don Rose from KFRC. I think he's dead now. He was. He had some real bad illness.
Right.
I think he bounced back. I found him on a website somewhere. Yeah, I think he's back.
Well, all I know is that when he was real sick, hi, Charlie.
That's now my favorite part of the opening break. Yeah. When Charlie
just says break.
He was tremendously demonstrative today.
Anyway, Dr. Don Rose was so sick, and the radio station refused to give him time off to get well.
Wow. Right.
So they built an actual studio in his house.
Where he played the records and stuff like that.
Yeah, and he did his show from his bedroom, and most of the listeners had no idea that he had, had part of his pancreas removed or something.
What about how Kevin and Bean do their show now?
Yeah, Kevin and Bean out in L.A. And they don't know, they keep it a secret, right?
Yeah, there are these two guys we know at K-Rock in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. One half of them, Bean guy, it's Kevin and Bean. Bean lives in Seattle. Uh-huh. And nobody knows it. Because he does the show from his house.
Wow.
Now, see, I couldn't do that. And I don't think Mike could do it because we got to look at each other to do the show.
Yeah, I mean, I'd give it some thought. Like, if it was, it's just the idea seems so much fun.
Sure.
To be able to have a microphone and you'd sit there, especially a microphone right on my nightstand.
Yeah, but you'd be so distracted at home.
The art of the deal.
I mean, I'm enough time keeping your attention here. If you were at home, see, you were just playing with me there.
I've got the compromise. Why can't you both do the show from Mike's bedroom?
Perfect.
You got an easy chair, don't you?
You know, so your phone line's in Sacramento, mine in Florida.
Right, we got a break. All the lines are nutty.
You know, if we did a West Coast morning show, that would be, I'd be able to do the show when I'm coming in.
Let's go to the lines and see if we can give away this money. $250, 877-365-3636 for the secret sound. I don't know how much clearer I can make it.
I don't know it yet, gentlemen. I don't know it yet.
O.J. Simpson. That's your clue.
Mm-hmm.
O.J. Simpson. Ron Goldman, Nicole Simpson, Kitchen. Mike's writing something down. It's not a knife stabbing.
No, it's not.
That's pretty clear right there, if you can throw that in.
Pine?
Yeah.
Pine. Ron, even when you try to be helpful, you're not helpful.
Really?
Oh, wait.
Hold on, maybe Mike got it from that. Write it down, Mike. What do you think he got?
This is not the guess, but this is part of the guess.
Close. Very close. Mm. Very close, Mike. You're very close.
I'm thinking of the sound. It doesn't make sense. It's a clicking sound.
Hold on. Hold on. Here it is. That's the sound.
It's so not a clicking sound.
Okay, we'll be back. Be the 100th caller. Maybe you'll win the money. Good luck. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. You don't forget a thing like Siamese twins.
I believe they prefer to be called conjoined twins.
And hillbillies prefer to be called sons of the soil. But it ain't gonna happen.
The Don and Mike Show.
They love the Arbotron. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We do. Oh, yeah. We live. We die by it.
Yep.
Let's get a call. 100. Do we give away this money? All right. Hello. Don and Mike Show. Hi.
You got a winner yet?
Might be you. What's your name, my friend?
Herb.
Where are you from?
Philly.
WYSB. Here we go. For first, let me tell you, you're the 100th caller, and you've got the HBO 30 Years of Boxing prize pack. It's assured had videos. I don't know, HBO always gives away good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Next Wednesday at 10, HBO's Legendary Nights tells the tale of Pryor versus Aguayo.
Oh, that's a great one.
A battle of opposites. The similarities that made the fight epic.
Yeah.
12 story, 12 weeks only on HBO. Now, are you ready to play?
Yeah, I am.
Are you ready to win?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Clues. OJ. Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Knife.
Yeah.
Okay. Pine.
Pine.
Pine?
Pine. P-I-N-E, like wood.
Okay.
Play of the sound. Give you 15 seconds. Think about it. Please don't answer. Don't Mike sings like,
I need Kamozi.
Caller, name this sound.
Well, this will be a command performance. So, bear with me. I mean, who cares if we get a winner or not? We're gonna hear. Aini, what's the name?
Kamozi.
Aini Kamozi.
I know what boat you know. Touch them up and go. She's Yang Chang. Here comes the hot stepper. Word her up.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
What was that name? Aini Kamozi.
That was a great performance.
Thank you.
For $250, what does that sound?
Is that the sound of a knife being put into the butcher block, the knife holder?
Winner.
Yeah. All right. Mike, you know why you should know that?
Why?
Because that sound, recorded in Rob Spiewak's kitchen, was made...
From the knives I gave him?
Yes. With the knife block you gave Rob Spiewak.
Could we hear the sound again? Because it just never sounded like that, but I guess that's what the sound is.
Listen to it. Here it is.
Wow.
You drop the knife, it slides right in, it bounces a little as the wooden handle of the knife.
It sounds so metallic, that's why. It sounds so metallic, you know, as
a recording about wood.
Now think about the clues that I gave you all along.
The clues are all completely legit.
From beginning I said orange juice.
Okay. Right.
Kitchen. Because everybody's got that in the kitchen. Then right. I made it OJ.
Right.
Then it was OJ Simpson. Then I said knife.
I probably thought of a knife holder, but just moved away from it because it was such a metal sound that I didn't hear the wood in it, you know. And
Buzz was very close the other day when Buzz was asking. Buzz wrote down the sharpening a knife.
Right.
I couldn't think of the name of the block thing that you put the knives into.
But that's exactly it, my friend. And
it's a knife cozy.
There you go. It's a knife going into. It's one of those big pieces of wood.
Yeah, a knife holder.
A bunch of holes in it, and you put different size knives in it.
Right. Absolutely.
And when you put the knife in, it makes that sound.
Wow, that's a good one.
A spoon, like, you know, you're dishing something out of a can with a spoon.
Well, I'm telling you, it's what, listen, you shouldn't, don't be second guessing yourself.
No, I'm just saying that's what it originally was.
Well,
so I got, you know, along on the game a little more.
Right. You got the money, my friend. Thank you. Enjoy your $250. Rob, do we have the new one ready yet? Or?
It's not ready. Would you like to debut it before the close of business today?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get it ready for you.
Yeah.
Colic.
Yeah. No. You know what? Never mind. Don't even, because it'll be. Yeah. That Mike will just say click when we do it.
Click, anyway. Click, click.
Well, I didn't say click the last time. The last sound was not a clicking sound.
Well, but the fact is, we're not going to be here next week, so let's not even debut it.
All right. We'll
wait and we'll do it.
Click.
When we come back. Let me see. We got a letter. We got something about BJs.
BJs.
Our phone's ringing, BJs. Let me share this letter with you. Received Monday, okay?
Monday.
And this is to both of us, Don and Mike. Don and Mike, just a quick note to let you know, Jesus loves you.
Mm-hmm.
True.
And if you want to live a more abundant life, give me a call sometime. May God bless you richly today. Randall Rodriguez.
Well, how nice.
That is very nice.
Let's call him.
That's terrific.
See what the F he wants. why us? Really?
Well, aren't you grateful for that? Isn't that a nice thing? He's blessing us. So we need all the help we can get.
Something tells me that it's going to be less than great.
You think it's going to be preachy?
Yep.
Yeah, probably.
Sure do. Let me see if he's there. I did that thing to take the... Let me take it off the air.
Then we can call Aini Kamozi.
It's not going to work if he's not there. The guy sent this letter, says, God must not love us a lot. You're not there. Hello? No, the number's just ringing. I'm not getting anything.
Maybe he's praying.
In the name of Jesus, recreate the eardrums. I'm going to need that.
Oof. Randy, this is Don and Mike. Did you send us a letter? Would you like to come on the air with us? Sure. All right, here he is, everybody. The guy who wrote us the letter, here is Randy.
Randy, thank you for telling us that Jesus loves us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Now, why would you send us such a letter, sir?
Why wouldn't I?
Well, what prompted you to send us this? Say, Don and Mike, just a quick note to let you know Jesus loves you. And if you want to live a more abundant life, give me a call sometime. May God bless you richly today.
Live a more abundant life?
Oh, yes. I was hoping to share that with you.
Share the word? What word is that?
The word that you can have a more abundant life.
Are you a preacher?
No.
What if I was to say, speaking for myself, you know, my life is plenty abundant. I got abundancy coming out the ass.
You can speak for yourself there. I'm ready to be healed. I'm ready to be dipped in the river.
Are you a Jesus freak?
Some would probably classify me as that, yeah.
Do you have the little metallic fish on your car?
No.
Do you have a bumper sticker that says, God is my co-pilot?
My favorite.
No, I just live that way.
What religious preference do you have?
None, really. I'm just a born-again Christian, that's all.
Well, I mean, do you worship somewhere?
I do.
Where? I mean, what church?
What are you, Catholic? Episcopalian? Lutheran?
Is that Rob? Rob A?
No, that's
no,
God.
It's me. I was asking, what is your denomination?
It's basic Christian. I attend a church called Jubilee Christian.
Jubilee Christian. Like a Bible church.
Yes.
Okay, right. So you wrote us a letter. Well, you know, first, thanks for listening, I guess.
I've been listening to you since you were on WAVA.
Thanks. I don't mean to be rude, but what was the point of the letter?
I just wanted to let you know that Jesus loved you, and if you ever wanted to know about more about that love, then I would be happy to share that with you.
Well, the day that we decide that we want no one to listen to this show, we'll give you a whole segment.
Do we still have that guy that's on the weekends here, the guy that used to preach on the weekends? I used to like him.
Oh, the guy who does the video show?
Didn't you go to his service one time?
I did. Mm-hmm. It was like going to a circus. The guy had...
I got
to
try that one of these.
The guy had the video screen.
Like a band and everything?
Like a band, really, a real band, and they had like videos with some guy pretending to be Jesus.
Cool.
Done to Amy Grant videos.
Well, I really think
Amy Grant music.
Your modern worshippers need a little more entertainment value.
Well, anyway, that's all. Was that the message? That's it. You don't like a religious fanatic who's
religious.
Excuse me.
I like that word though.
You know,
you kind of combine religious
and fanatical
and evangelical in the whole thing.
So you're not one of those Jesus freaks that like wants to take us off the air or something.
Oh no, I enjoy your show thoroughly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now I'm listening.
Oh, I absolutely love your show.
Do you play with snakes?
Do I? Lord, no. I avoid snakes at all costs.
Do you speak in tongues?
I do.
Speak in a tongue.
For what purpose?
Hey, Rob, don't we have that brand new tape of the guy from the church that's speaking in tongues?
Speaking in tongues, we do.
There are actually two preachers.
Can you understand what these fellas are saying? Can you interpret for us?
No, I can't. I think it's... Wait, it's coming. I believe it's some sort of sewing instruction for denim.
Right. Denim. Say, not bad, sir.
That's all pretty right. Good. Well, listen, thanks for the letter.
Well, I'll be sending. Do you want me to send you more? Or?
Yes. Send it to my attention.
No, attention, Mike O'Mara.
Send
Mike O'Mara.
Yes, all the literature. Mm-hmm. I'm in need of spiritual healing.
You leave me out of the loop on that one.
Why, Don?
Because as the Doobie Brothers said, Jesus is just all right with me.
What a record.
Yeah. That was a good one.
And God bless you real good.
Well, thank you.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye-bye. Man, I thought we had something there. I thought that it was like a setup to a real good hate call.
That was a great lesson there. You can be a good Christian and still love the Don and Mike show.
Hey, man.
It's true. Look at me.
Yeah.
Look at Rob.
Absolutely.
Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. My name's Tom, and you were talking about Dr. Don Rose.
Yes.
Yeah, and he lived about three doors from me years ago. What happened was he was in Montana, broke his leg severely, and wound up losing his left leg. And then, of course, in the rehabilitation, he couldn't work anymore. So they did set his studio up to his house.
Right, that's the guy from KFRC. Right. Just think of it, Mike. That's all you'd have to do right now to be able to show home is have your one of your legs amputated.
Give me a saw. Can I do it up below the knee?
Don and Mike show. Hello, that wouldn't count.
See, you always, you always want to go more. I bet it would count. I bet it would count.
No, it wouldn't.
I could still golf if I had it below the knee.
Yeah.
If you could still golf, then you could still come into work.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Gentlemen.
Yeah.
Yes, I know what the preachers are saying.
What?
They're saying, well, it's a contest, really, that they were hosting out here in the Bay to see who could last the longest in this room here. It was like a week-long contest, and that was one of the...
What are you talking about?
Does anybody have any idea what this guy's talking about?
No, it's a true story. It was a week-long contest sponsored by a church out here.
Are you talking about the tape we have of the guys doing the funny car, like NASCAR, with their... It's just two guys going...
But it was used to torture these people in a contest to give them some small amount of prize money. It was
they actually used that tape that we play?
Yeah, they did. And they put them in there. They had to listen to it for about an hour in this one room. They didn't get bathroom breaks or anything. They had to go to the bathroom with buckets and all this other stuff.
You know,
stuff.
If you wanted to torture me, really, the Super Bowl is gay guy would be what I'd have trouble hearing for an hour. I could listen to those. I'm laughing at those guys more than I am the Super Bowl guy.
Yeah. We get a lot of calls for that Super Bowl is gay song.
That would be if you were putting me in a room and wanted to really torture me for an hour, is to listen to that. There's something about his voice that really annoys me.
Yeah, we get a lot of calls for that song.
No, it's because it stays with you.
Yeah. Who doesn't like this?
Happy reason!
Yeah, everybody.
Super Bowl.
Right.
Super Bowl.
Sing it.
Super Bowl is gay.
Think Jesus likes this guy?
The Raiders are gay. The Raiders are so f***ing gay.
I think likes isn't a strong enough word.
The Raiders are gay.
Think Jesus loves him?
Absolutely.
Yay. The Bucks are gay.
Yeah. Now he's really going.
Gay.
Gay.
Super Bowl. Gay. Everything else. Gay. Water. Gay. Cologne is gay. DVD players are gay. DVDs are gay. Spray caps are gay. The sky is gay. It's also sometimes gray, but it's mostly gay. Cottage cheese, gay. Yogurt, gay. Shirts, gay. Vacuum cleaners, gay. Electronic devices, gay.
Smash. Stone Cold Smash.
Why is everything gay? KFC is gay.
Gay.
McDonald's is gay.
Gay.
McDonald's is gay. Gay. You must.
Let me just stop it. It's only halfway through.
And that's the key to it, you see, because he has this, like, crescendo part, and you think it's over, and then he comes back for the second half, and that's when the torture starts happening.
Wow, that's a good song, though.
It's catchy.
That's a 27-year-old guy who sounds like he's 12.
Yeah, and he sounded like his speaking voice sounded like he was 12 also.
After we... Goof called him last week when we did Tobacco Road.
Right.
He called back. He was all mad.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have time to get to him. I think
that song doesn't sound like he's an angry guy.
Joe or Lisa screened the call. Hey, Rob, can you find the music for me here?
Yeah, I can, as a matter of fact.
Because I think we're going to have a special guest just a moment. Let me see. You got it?
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Well, then.
I am the god of hellfire.
Hey, guess who's coming in?
And I bring you fire.
You know, we were talking about Jesus a moment ago.
Yeah. I just wanted a second.
Satan!
Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm great as always. I just wanted to get some equal time on the show.
You know, it's amazing how you can just materialize like this, but, I don't have to ask why you're here. You obviously heard the guy that was saying Jesus loves us.
Yeah, And that's not true.
Really?
Jesus hates you.
Oh, no.
I had no idea playing cards with him last night.
Oh, no.
And I brought your name up.
Did you really?
I said, hey, sure heard this big time, Mike did. Hey, I was telling him you guys had some killer bits this weekend. This thing with Letterman in the bathtub with his mom washing his balls.
Right.
And he got scabies. And he had wanted to call somebody on the show yesterday. Someone had a heart attack. And one of your listeners wanted you to call them and say they're glad the guy wasn't dead. Anyway, I was just going off on that. How's Dr. Natasha Terry? So I'm mentioning this to Jesus.
What did he say to you, Satan?
He just shook his head, and he said, those two are sinners.
Did he think you were trying to fool him like you always do?
No, he knows.
Really?
He knows I'm a fan. I'm a fan, I can't help it.
A fan of our show?
I'm a fan of your show, yeah. Right, you guys, you're great.
Well, how does he feel about the show?
He hates it.
Really?
Yeah, he openly says, there's only a few people. You say, you go to the J-Man,
yeah.
And you say, J-Man, all kidding aside, who do you really hate? I mean, beyond the biggies, you know,
right.
Your Hitlers, your Mussolinis,
your Saddam Hussein,
your Saddams, and incidentally, I'm working on that deal with Saddam, but I said, when you get past that,
right.
You get, like, to entertainers,
mm-hmm.
And I believe the quote was, to call them an entertainer, is an insult to entertainment.
Speaking about us?
Yes, the Don and Mike show.
Really? Who were some of the others on his list that he really hated?
That he really hates?
Yeah.
Well,
who does he like?
Well, loves Jay Leno.
He does?
Oh,
Jesus
no.
Loves Jay Leno.
I had no idea.
He thinks he's funny as S.
Does he know that Jay Leno has a contract with you, though?
Yeah, he does, but he still... Here's why he likes him. Because he doesn't work blue.
Ah, he doesn't work blue.
He doesn't work blue, and he saved every cent that he's made from the Tonight Show.
Well, I have a question for you, Satan. That guy writes a letter saying Jesus loves you, and he says, you know, he is a born-again Christian, yet he really enjoys the show. Where does Jesus stand on a guy like that?
Jesus would have nothing to do with him. I'm already telling you. If anybody out there listening...
I think you're conjuring, Satan.
No, I'm not conjuring. Mike! Mike!
What? What?
I am the God of Hellfire! And I bring you fire!
I want to say right now, anybody listening to this radio show...
Your songs don't hurt me.
Anybody listening to this show is a worshiper of Satan.
Ow! Ow! Now that's not... Ow! That is uncalled for. Please turn it off. Please turn... Ow!
You're deliberately hurting me in front of our listeners.
Now I'm treating you like you're a whopper. I'm royal.
Oh, that hurts. Man, I can smell my own hair burning.
Everybody who listens to this show will eventually be joining me in hell.
Mm.
You know it, face it, learn it, live it.
Hey, I think you're going to drive listeners away with that kind of talk. You can't talk to our listening audience like that.
Yo, Mike.
What?
I am the God of Hellfire, and I bring you fire.
I'm sorry, I wasn't showing you the proper respect.
I'm
not making you say that. Turn it off, please. Turn the burners off. Please turn the burners off. Ooh.
You're one of my favorites.
Yeah, look at me now. I look like Fire Marshal Bill.
You're a funny one.
Thank you, Satan.
I got a place for you up here.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You have passed along to both Don and I that we will have deluxe accommodations. Better than the average slug.
Penthouse in the ground.
Oh, man.
I'm going to have you down here with some of the all-time greats.
Can you make it so my hair grows back after that little fire episode, please?
Mike, here's the best thing for both you and that fat-ass partner of yours.
What's going on?
Oh, and incidentally, Diet Schmiet. If he could lose 50 more pounds, he'd still be as ugly as my last BL.
Satan, that is not nice. You're not being very... You seem to be very upset that listener wrote us a letter saying Jesus loves you.
Jesus hates the Don and Mike show.
Wow.
Jesus hates the Don and Mike show.
I think he's conjuring again.
Mike?
Yeah, what?
I want to tell you something. This is just for you.
What's that?
I can fix your hearing.
Oh, man.
You can?
You know who made you
drink? Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I am not going to let you influence me like that.
Do you know who made you go partially deaf?
Who?
Jesus did?
I don't believe you. You are trying to trick me. You're a trickster. I know this. You are a trickster, and you're deliberately trying to trick me again, Satan.
I was talking to Jesus last night when your show came up. I was talking about the great bits. And he said, great bits, my ass.
Wow.
He said, I got so pissed at a bit that they were doing, I fixed one of them. I just shot down a bolt of lightning to make one of them go partially deaf.
Wow. Satan, I have some partial hearing loss. I am not partially deaf.
Hey, listen, I gotta fly because you guys have a much bigger name on the other line.
Who's on the other line here?
A guy who I, unfortunately, have absolutely nothing to do with.
Really?
The angelic Jim Nance is on the other
line. Oh, he's a very good, he's a Boy Scout, Satan.
All of the guys on my team work for Fox.
I understand that.
Yeah. I am the All right, goodbye, Satan. And I bring you
Please
fire.
Throw my hair back.
I can fix your hearing, Mike.
You don't trick me, Satan.
Hey, Mike.
Yes, Satan.
How'd you like a nice pretty girl?
Oh, look at that. And then he makes the picture appear. He puts the centerfold up there like he's holding it in his hand. I'm not buzzing. I'm not going to let him trick me.
All right.
All right, you take care.
Howdy.
Quick trip.
Hey, the Super Bowl is gay.
Safe trip back to hell.
He likes that.
I got to go. Lou Rawls is on the phone.
You know what he likes? He always says, hey, Satan, one more thing. This always makes him laugh. Hey, Satan.
Yeah, Mike.
Go to hell.
Hey, don't forget the big sign that I've got.
Yeah.
It says, you know what it says, welcome to hell.
Mm-hmm.
You know that thing, that deal that says, if you lived in hell, you'd already be here.
You'd already be here. It's great, Satan.
You're the best.
I love your sense of humor. You know that.
You're the best.
You're a conjurer. You're a kidder.
I am, and one day I'll have your soul.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
There he goes. There he goes with his cape and his red three-piece suit.
Hey, enjoy the traffic, everybody.
There's
effing suckers.
So evil. So very
wicked.
Evil.
Tell the angel boy that I said hello.
I will, absolutely, say. Bye-bye. There he goes.
Yeah.
He doesn't say goodbye. He's not polite like that.
No,
he just vanishes. He kind of walks away, and then his image disappears.
Joining us now. Oh, this is jam-packed. Hey, Jimmy, where are you at?
Hey, we're at the United Center here in Chicago at the Big Ten basketball tournament.
Here's our man.
Hi, Jim.
Nancy, Jim Nance. Yeah.
It has been a while, fellas. I have been, I don't know, I've been trying to heal the wounds of my Super Bowl pick, which was one of the few times I let you down.
Well, I will tell you, Jim, it's my opinion, really, that perhaps there was a little overconfidence there as you...
I may have been.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, and I got to say... I've got to lay the blame right where it belongs, and that's right at your feet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You guys had built me up into this superpower. Actually, I was walking around. I don't know who this guy was. I just replaced her on your show.
Oh,
but that's why I was walking around the street sounding like that guy.
Yeah. All I know is you're still the man, and now that, listen, Jim, see, you know what Jim is? The man, shirtless constantly. He gets done with all of his NFL stuff before the Masters. He's got his NCAA.
He is a hard-working broadcaster.
Now, what are you at halftime of a game right now, Jim?
No, actually, we're down to about the last 5 minutes, and instead of watching the end of Michigan State-Purdue, I'm on the phone with you guys.
We appreciate that,
but
Jimmy.
But the game's starting to get a little out of hand anyway. Michigan State's pulling away.
Jim, I'll ask you one real serious college basketball question, then we want to ask you about the Final Four. Cause we're gonna
I hear you're going to be down there, by the way.
We are. What happens if Michigan wins... The Big Ten, or Big 12, whatever it is, whatever conference they're in, because they're ineligible for the NCAAs.
Well, Don, you are a very bright guy. I always knew that.
There
and
you go.
What happens here is the automatic bid from the conference goes to the regular season champion then. Usually the automatic bid goes to the tournament champion. But if it was Michigan winning here, then it would go to Wisconsin, which will get in anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
See, because the deal is Michigan is on double secret probation.
It's been on probation. They were on probation before it became fashionable.
Yeah, it's been a tough year. It's been a tough year.
Before the St. Bonaventures and the Georges and the Villanovas and everybody else had their problems.
Yeah, what the heck is going on this year?
I just don't know, but thankfully there's at least a lot of people trying to clean some stuff up and cutting down some pretty stiff penalties on their own teams, you know.
So Jim, this weekend everybody will be watching CBS Sunday night. It's a great hour when you get the selection show, when you get the cameras in the locker rooms of the teams that made it and the teams that didn't make it. Jim, right now, here's what I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
All you got to do is name one of the final four teams. Right now, it is it's March 14th. The Final Four is like the first weekend in April, the championship game. Name one of the Final Four teams.
The best bet, and this isn't because Arizona lost last night. I wouldn't read anything in Arizona losing to UCLA out there. They made it pretty clear up front. They didn't put too much stock in their Pac-10 tournament. But I've been saying all along limb here, guys, but Kentucky is the best team in the country right now, in my estimation, and I think that Kentucky is the best bet to make it to New Orleans in the Final Four.
I got you. Well, listen.
Okay, now I'm going to give you a couple of sleeper teams, though. Now, of course, they could end up in Kentucky's bracket, which would kill everything.
Okay.
But I would watch very closely Illinois.
Okay.
I like that team. And Connecticut.
Connecticut.
They will not be a very high seed or good seed, if you will. People get all mixed up on the high-low seed. What does that mean?
Who's a bubble team? I mean, I know that, you know, that a lot of the tournaments are being played this weekend.
Right.
Who would be right now looking out at beyond that? If you got it like the ACC, maybe three or four teams to get in, who do you think overall is going to be on the bubble right now going into the weekend?
Well, right now, in fact, as we speak down to the last couple of minutes, Georgia Tech is playing NC State. NC State is a bubble team, viewed by many as a bubble team. I personally think, regardless of what they do here today, they should get in. They were 9-7 in the regular season. That would be just four teams from the ACC, which has put a team in the Final Four 19 of the last 22 years. The conference knows how to perform. If they only give the ACC three teams, I think that would be wrong. But NC State is viewed as a bubble team. Alabama lost early in the SEC tournament. They're viewed as a bubble team.
And Jim, I know the whole country's talking about this, and I want to get your take. How do you feel about the American University Eagles?
I like your chances.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. That's good. I'm excited. This is our year. Absolutely.
I didn't want to say go say Bonaventure. But I was behind those kids all the way. You know,
how have you guys been, man?
Jimmy, can I say that the Fridays have not been the same?
Not at all.
I miss you guys.
We missed you. And Jim, you will be glad to know that today, after a reminder, a timely reminder from your assistant,
uh-oh,
my wife wrote out a corporate check today to three amigos for, and I can't believe I went double or nothing with you, $1,000 to your charity.
So, well, thank you so much.
We got that, and when we get down to New Orleans, we're going to get you on the show. We're going to get you shirtless.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to get
you. Are we going to do that on the show, or is that going to happen when we walk down Bourbon Street?
Bourbon Street.
Yeah. Jim, all we want is 1 hour on Bourbon Street with you.
And a tape recorder.
You know what? We'll have a fun time hanging out.
Very good.
Definitely make some contact here. You guys know how to get in touch with me, but when we get down there, we definitely have to have a little rendezvous, and maybe a little walk down Bourbon Street will be in order.
Very good. Let's do that, Jimmy.
I'd love to see you guys.
Have a great, great weekend, because I know you don't like the dirty talk, but you get a boner for this weekend.
You're bad.
And a lot of,
you're so bad.
A lot of guys
do. I tell you, I'm not sure New Orleans is ready for you, as much as, you know, the stuff that goes on down there. I don't know.
We know a lot of secret hideaways in New Orleans.
Oh, man, I'm afraid you do. Maybe I won't walk Bourbon Street with you.
All right, we'll see you for the Final Four. We'll watch you this weekend, Jimmy.
We will look forward to you. Just give me a good reason to want to get to New Orleans.
Okay, we'll see you down there.
Thanks, fellas.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's Jim Nance from CBS.
There she goes.
And he heard Satan, too.
You know, we don't even bust his balls that much anymore because
he knows us, we know him.
Right. We've built him into what he is now.
Absolutely. You know, it's like a guy in your neighborhood that you see. You know, you're totally different, but you have a great relationship with him.
Yeah. Flanders. Anyway, Jim
Flanders, right?
Yeah. He's Flanders.
Hello, Flanders. Care to walk down Bourbon Street, Jim?
Ding dong diddly doo.
I'll be down here for the Final Diddly Four.
That's him. Todd and Rod? Is that what the kids? Do you know what I tried to get Rob for his birthday? And this pissed me off. I got a catalog in the mail. One of those things, one of those catalogs like amazing, incredible, collectible stuff.
Right.
Well, first of all, I wanted to get them. They had Homer Simpson bowling shirts.
Right. Oh.
So I called and they said, we're totally out of stock on this. Then they had, you know how Rob, I know we kid Charlie Stoss a lot, but Charlie Stoss has nowhere near as many dolls as Rob has.
I just have Elvis dolls.
Rob has Elvis dolls and Colonel Clink dolls.
I have my bobble.
And you have little monkeys up on your desk.
I do have my monkeys.
Anyway, they had this thing where they had these figurines, limited edition, and one of the set of figurines was Ned Flanders and his sons, Rod and Todd. And I thought, man, does this have Rob written all over it?
Rob's a Flanders kind of guy.
So I call up, and they piss me off. I just got the catalog.
Yeah.
I had just got, she's, I'm sorry, we're back ordered on the Flanders family.
It's because there are just too many people. It's the same reason for traffic. You can't get anything you want nowadays.
Right.
God, I hate people.
Back ordered on the Flanders.
Well, thank you, Jim Nance. Yeah.
That was wonderful. We look forward to seeing Flanders in New Orleans.
He'll be on all weekend. And the plan, I don't know if you heard this when I was in the paper today, if the war happens, and it looks like, you know, what is it, Monday's the day?
Well, they're having a big summit now, so who knows what's going on.
Could be delayed a little.
But if the war happens and CBS decides to go to wall-to-wall coverage, I think at first they were going to put it on MTV.
The Final Four?
Well, no, at least the...
Final Four of the War.
The Sweet 16, wherever they are.
Who's that old anchor for MTV? He'd be doing the
Kurt
War
Loder.
Coverage.
Yeah.
Kurt Loder.
Yeah.
Be doing the War
wherever,
coverage.
Wherever they are on the road to the Final Four, they were going to put it on a CBS-owned network.
Right.
Until they finally realized that no one would turn on TV Land to watch the NCAA. So I think they're going to be on ESPN if there's a war.
Oh, really?
And the coverage can't be on your local CBS affiliate.
So when Nancy do it, if he won't do it if it's on ESPN.
No, because he'll be called to combat.
Oh. No, I believe what I heard today was the deal was it would be
in Flanders Field.
Be CBS announcers.
Really?
It'd be the whole CBS package. It would just be...
So it'd be like everybody cutting across network borders to support the war act.
But if ESPN had programming that they were already contractually obligated to, then they would put the NCAA games on TV Land.
Wow.
I don't think so.
You laugh, but MTV is planning to do war coverage.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, dude, strap Carson Daly to a bomb. Please do that.
Just put him on one of those drones, fly him over Baghdad. Yeah. That'll make him surrender.
Boom. We got a break. Thank you, Jimmy Nance. Thank you, Satan. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What was it like when you, the night of the election, and you have to talk to President Clinton? And, had you talked to him much during the campaign directly? Probably not, I wouldn't think.
Okay, not a lot. We sort of talked past each other. We had two debates, but nobody showed up. And, but I called him, Kleck, and,
hi, Kleck.
Yeah. Well, you know, our campaign's been broke for months.
Okay, fine.
Thank you very much.
Mom, will you go back to the hotel?
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Yeah, well, listen, speaking of Letterman...
they use the hair for protection. Don and Mike.
I'm out of time.
This band was on last night on Letterman, American Hi-Fi.
Yeah, did a nice job.
Will Ferrell, come on, you got to admit it, he was kind of funny last night. Mike?
We are really going to have to disagree on that. I didn't think he was funny at all. I thought he was one of the worst interviewers ever. His monologue, when he did the Kenny Rogers thing, that didn't make me laugh.
That made me laugh.
I think he sucks.
I think...
I hate to say that because I feel strongly about it. I really try to see what everybody, sees in Will Ferrell. He's just on my list.
Here's what I thought was forced, was you have a great guest like Chris Rock. Yeah. And it seemed to me that you had two naturally funny guys.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live alums.
Chris Rock is obviously funnier than Will Ferrell.
Right.
But they were both so uptight.
They canceled each other.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris Rock came out wanting to do this dumb bit about... Where's Dave? Where's Dave?
And Will Ferrell was trying to be cool. He was trying to be... I guess his idea of how to host the show was to be as understated and just go, yeah, 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 which he did a million times. Mm-hmm. And I really think with Will Ferrell, you get him in, you put him in the makeup, you watch what he does on Saturday Night Live, and he actually makes me angry when I'm watching because I'd like to see somebody... Just make an effort, you know?
Buzz was telling me last night down in the parking lot, as Buzz and I often meet and make out before we leave, that he finally saw the Vince Vaughn hosting Letterman and agreed that that was pretty good.
Vince Vaughn is just... And you know what? A great talk show would be Vince Vaughn. Only female guests for Vince Vaughn, because he's got that slicky boy thing going on, which is fantastic.
And surprisingly good... Elvis Costello as a guest host on David Letterman.
Maybe the best of the week.
Yeah.
Really just a naturally funny guy, and certainly the most at ease of all the guest hosts that they had.
Yeah, Elvis Costello did the stuff like walking right up to the camera.
Right.
Elvis Costello is the only guy that threw pencils.
To
make the crash sound.
And then said, "I want your job," to the tune of Allison, which fantastic.
Letterman done to the tune of Allison.
I want your job.
It was great. Anyway, listen, so Dave Letterman not being there, that could have been a topic for Jeopardy today, that we've already had
Dave and his mom,
right,
you know, bathing him and taking care of his balls. So what is the other biggest story involving entertainment / television?
CBS.
Well, maybe. You watched 60 Minutes last week. Now, I watched it, and I saw these guys.
How are you?
Hey. And I...
It's good to see you.
I didn't think the counterpoint. It didn't work.
It's actually not called that any longer. It's I forgot what it's called. But
anyway,
it's pretty good.
It has our man.
How are you?
BC.
How are you? Good to see you. How you doing? I got my buddy here, my debate partner over here. He'd like to come over. Should we give him a microphone too?
Yeah, let's give it. We have both Bill Clinton and Bob Dole here.
How are you?
This is great.
Hey, Bob Dole. How are you?
Doing fine, Bob.
I'm old. I'm older than the last time I saw you right here. It's good to be here. We weren't real thrilled with the American people want a good debate, and that's what we need in this country, a good debate to have people argue, to me and the Mr. President over here. Unfortunately, I lost to him in the election, but we're going to be really excited about doing it, and we're going to continue to have our debates, and the country needs a good forum for the debate and all the things.
Hey, Bill?
Oh, man.
God damn
it. Did you
get
any of that?
Not a word.
Jesus, I didn't get any of that.
Hey, listen, has he told you any of that stuff about how old he is? Like,
oh, no.
Have you ever asked him?
I will be incorporating it. What I'd like to do is I'd like to incorporate it into the debates that we're going to have. And I will be working that into some of the debates that we will be having. I will be working his age in, because I think that's where I stand to benefit, is by attacking him directly on his age. And you know, we could do it for you. We're prepared to debate any subject. We can do it off the cuff. It doesn't
Goddamn right we are.
Wow.
Slick Willie and I will do that for you right now. And I'll tell you, it'll be more spicy than you get on the regular network right here. How are you, Don?
I'm fine, and let me tell you.
I heard the Satan piece. It was marvelous.
Let me tell you something, Bob.
I enjoy that quite a bit. I like the devil. The devil humor makes me laugh.
Bob, let me tell you something.
Bob Dole. Call me Bob Dole.
Bob Dole.
Please don't call me Bob. That's just, I could be any Bob. Like, what about Bob? I'm Bob Dole.
Bob Dole?
Bob Dole right here. I'm
your
like
segment.
Mr. Captain Penis over there.
Your segment sucked last week on 60 Minutes.
I'm aware of the fact that it sucked, and America wants better dialogue between me and the President of the United States, former President Clinton. We're going to offer Americans more of a spicy thing. I will be attacking former president on his sexual prowess, and he will be attacking me on my age, no matter what the subject is.
Then let's begin. Let's start. The topic you have chosen is, and I'll give each of you 1 minute, the topic is age. President Clinton first.
Well, I'll tell you something, Bob. I followed your career for a long time, and although you may have been having lunch with Abe Lincoln or running on cave walls or riding in a cart with Socrates or maybe piloting your own chariot, your age does not enable you to see the issues as clearly as I do. I, first of all, defeated you rather handily in the election, Bob, and I understand your bitterness exists to this very day. I wish that we could come together as Americans and you could throw your Alzheimer's bitterness in the back pocket and not have to completely misrepresent my record and the facts the way you did so eloquently back when you campaigned futilely against me. You're old, Bob, and pretty soon this debate will be me on one side and you looking at me squarely out of a pine box.
Oh. Now, with the opposing point of view, Bob Dole.
Now, Mr. President, once again, you've missed all the topics, and I'll tell you right now, I'm going to stand up here with my dead arm, and I'll tell you right now, as I look you in the eye, we're not going to debate age, we're going to debate morality. And we know in the country that you have no morality, Mr. President. As a matter of fact, I call right now on this national forum and this national stage for an STD test. That's right, every single one of them. Chlamydia, gonorrhea, AIDS, every single one of those diseases that you probably contracted during your illustrious career of womanizing, Mr. President. I don't care about age. I may be old. Bob Dole may be old.
How old are you?
Right now, I'm 374 years old. It's not a point. It's not germane to the argument. What's germane to the argument is the fact that this man will put his penis just about anywhere it's invited. And that's what he's done throughout the country, and that's what he's done throughout his 10 years as a public official. I will tell you right now, Mr. President, let me get a glass of water. I'm old. Bob Dole.
What would your friend Abraham Lincoln have said about this?
Abe Lincoln would have said, take off your jacket, Bob Dole. Take your tie off, Bob Dole. Take your shirt off and do these debates in a white beater T-shirt. That's right. And if Finn gives you the hairy eyeball, you put up your dukes and you say, I'll show you how old. Excuse me, that's it.
All right, let's
now
go with...
We have a rebuttal from the President.
Yes, President Clinton, 1 minute for you on the clock.
All right, Mr. Dole, I will tell you right now, The seasons of a man's life are very significant, and your branches are beginning to fall on the ground. And unfortunately, the seasons of a man's life have ended for you. You will not be coming to spring very soon. As a matter of fact, you are in the winter of your existence, and you will not be blooming in the spring as I do quite mercifully every single spring. When the buds burst, the bees come out, and we pollinate the flowers. That's right, Bob. Now, you may have enjoyed your chariot races back in the days of Ben-Hur, but right now, your time has passed, and that is exactly why you're not able to understand the wishes and the meaning of the American people and the American experience. I'll tell you right now, Bob Dole, I've got a piece of advice for you. What you want to do is crawl. Crawl into your casket and just get it over, all right? I'll tell you, your future smells of soil. That's right. The only debating you'll be doing will be 6 feet under the ground, debating with beetles and worms. Thank you.
Bob Dole, would you like to respond?
I certainly would. I consider that a personal affront to my dignity. It might be very easy for you, President Clinton, to sit there and attack me on my age, but I'll tell you right now, I attack you on the fact that you're not a good man. You're not a decent man. Lick it, Mr. President. That's what I tell you right now. As I take off my jacket right now, we're going to tell you one thing.
What's that?
I may be clutching this pencil in my dead arm, but I'll tell you my other arm's perfectly good. And I'd like to challenge you personally right now to a fight, because I'd be able to take this good arm and pluck those eyeballs right out of your litty white head. Because you know what you are, Mr. President? It's P. It's a giant P, just like we used to write it on the walls in Kansas. The P stands for pussy, Mr. President. You're a gigantic pussy who could never fought in a war. That's right, you avoided war. Bob Dole never avoided a war in his life. Bob Dole never avoided a fight in his life. Bob Dole wants to fight you, Mr. President. I will fight you with my good arm right now, no matter how old I am. I'll fight you right now, and I'll tie this arm behind my back, and you can tie your penis behind your back, Mr. President, because that's the only thing you use.
Right, listen, I will allow you to fight in the last minute.
Wow. Totally better, man.
Let's change the topic.
Man, oh, man, do you got any candy?
And we'll go with Bob Dole first.
All right, what do you want? What's the topic now?
The topic is service to our country. Particularly, I don't know, I'm going to give President Dole, almost President Dole.
Thank you very much, Don. That was a Freudian slip, but I know you meant it. Yes, sir. Bob Dole would have made a good president. Those days have passed me by.
The chance to speak about the service you performed to the country over the last 375 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Senator Bob Dole. I'd like to talk to you about service to our country. You know, a lot of candidates talk about the service to their country and how they've served America brilliantly, but there's only one individual in this debate who served his country more magnificently than any other individual. I'm not talking about Vietnam or Korea or even WW2. I'm talking about all the wars. That's right. People might know the fact that Bob Dole served in all of them. World War I, the War of 1812, the Revolutionary War, all of the conflicts going back to the Peloponnesian War and the Crusades over on the continent of Europe. As a matter of fact, when... I'll tell you right now, on the island of Ireland, when the Vikings were coming across the sea, it was Bob Dole that organized the Celts and said, pick up those sticks and throw rocks at those boys. That's right. It was Bob Dole that drove the Vikings out of Ireland with the Celts. Bob Dole came to King Richard and said, Richard, we're going to beat the Scotsmen back. And then I'd go up to Scotland and I worked on both sides of that fence. That's right. Absolutely. You know the movie Braveheart? That's not about that guy, William Wallace. It's about Bob Dole.
And now, excuse me. For 60 seconds on his service to our country, President Clinton.
I'd like to turn down this debate. I feel that we are getting far too ahead of ourselves, and I'm going to tell you right now that the debate that we're talking about here is service to our country. And what really is service? I consider service to be servicing our country. And that's what I strive to do that in each and every day. From my offices in Harlem, I will venture out into Midtown Manhattan on the Broadway and service so many of my constituents that it would spin your head around. I remember there was a young lady a long time ago on the campaign trail. I would walk up to her and I'd say, service. Oral, manual, or anal. And, of course, that's what people want to hear in this country. And I have provided these services to people who need it. I'll never forget the young lady of 25 that I met in Newark, New Jersey on the campaign trail. And after an afternoon of quality Bill Clinton servicing, she had a gleam in her eye that I will never forget as long as I live. She had the best rack. And slowly I would take my hands and run it down.
Now, we're running out of time.
I'm a bipartisan diddler.
30 seconds. Each of you, I'd be happy to,
but I want to fight him dead.
You'll be able to fight.
I want to fight him dead.
You're going to fight after. I'm going to give each of you one more 30-second rebuttal thing here, and then you can fight.
Who gets to go first? I'd like to do it right now.
I'd like each of you to talk about what your wife has meant to your life, personally and politically, in 30 seconds. Bob Dole first.
I talked about Liddy Dole. Liddy Dole is the woman behind the man. And you know, Kate Lafka. I'm getting choked up. Excuse me, I'm an old man and I get teared up. I'll tell you right now, she's the best lady since Cleopatra. And she stole my heart a long time ago when I was a young centurion working for the Roman Empire. I'll tell you right now, Liddy Dole has been behind me every step of the way, and there's something I'd like to say to her. I love you, Liddy. And I'll stand behind you as long as these Bob Dole lips are breathing air.
And now, President Clinton, 30 seconds for you talking about your wife, Hillary.
All right. You want me to what?
Are you hungry?
I'm very hungry right now. I'd like some candy, if it's possible. No, this is difficult for me to do. I don't see my wife as often as I should, but she is a fine conversationalist. And she has a way of making people...
Well said.
Thank you. Thank you very
well
much.
Well said. And wow. The final minute we have
there
with this...
There you go. That's right. Did you cheat on her?
And
you're a cheater, you pig.
And the final minute now...
I build a pyramid, a-hole.
Listen, why don't you both just take your shirts off...
Right.
Let's fight. You want a minute of fighting?
I don't
want
to fight him. I don't want to fight Bob.
Bob, do you want to fight?
I want to fight him right now with this arm tied around my back. I'll bite him.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, I can't say that.
Go at it.
Are we on TV?
Go at it.
Mr. President.
There he is. Oh, man.
Get your hands off it. There. All right, I got my teeth in his eye. I got my teeth in his
eye. I got news for you. Here Bob Dole is kicking his ass.
Hey, cowboy. Yeah, I use my teeth. That's what I use, Bob Dole. Take him out and I'll do him again.
No, you don't touch me, old man. You're hurting me. You're hurting me badly. I am beginning to bleed.
Hey, of course you're beginning to bleed right now. Eat my pen. Come on now, eat it. Lick it. Lick my pen.
Oh, my God.
Make him say Uncle Sam.
Say Bob Dole.
Oh, I don't want him to say...
Say Bob Dole or I'll make you eat the pen. I'll give you a pen suppository.
Bob Dole! Bob Dole, he wins!
Okay.
Wow.
Fight is over.
I had no idea.
The winner
is... completely and totally out of breath. That's like when I played that rugby game over at Oxford.
Bob Dole!
Bob Dole's the big winner. Look at the bloodied face of our former president. Look at his bloody scars. You remember those Bob Dole pen scars? I carry a bunch of sharpened pencils and pens in my pocket that I can access with my good arm in a lightning-fast move that will result in a severed jugular vein. There you go. Bob Dole,
I've been
a champion since the days of the Roman Empire.
President Clinton, I think you were hurt by the fact that Bob Dole has been around...
He's angry.
...since dinosaurs ruled the earth.
I am not a gladiator.
I was a gladiator. That's right. You remember that movie? Movie they made? I knew all those things.
Muscle Crow?
I used to wear the big metal masks, and I'd go in there, and I'd look at the Emperor and say, Bob Dole's ready. Bob Dole stab his, he'll vanquish his opponents. Absolutely.
We got a break.
Oh, man, I tell you, this is a good victory for me. I haven't felt this strong since I built Niagara Falls.
We need a couple of callers to play low budget Jeff Hardy here with the presidents and, the guy that was almost the president, Clinton and Dole.
Don, is there an outside? I tried I could get a cold cloth to my face is a bit puffy and bloody.
You know, hey, goddamn right it is.
You know who I bet you need to see?
Who's that?
Hold on a second. Oops.
Did you call a police officer?
No. This is for you.
All right.
Let me just see if she's here.
Think twice about going against Bob Dole again. Hey, Cherie. Once I take off my suit coat.
Where's
Stinky Pound?
Hello. Yeah. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, where's
Joe George, your fine supporter of the Bob Dole campaign.
Where's Lisa?
She's here.
Oh, I know what you want to do. I don't want to talk to her. Liddy doesn't like me talking to any of the little fillies.
Put her on.
Absolutely.
Okay. Not for you.
Doesn't like me doing that ever since I had my affair with Joan of Arc.
Let's see what.
Hi. Hi, Lisa.
Hey.
How have you been? I understand you're engaged.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wanted to call you personally.
That's okay. I would like to personally offer my congratulations, dear.
Lisa, Bill, Mr. President,
yes.
Requires some ice to his groin area.
I've been attacked by Senator Dole, and unfortunately I'm not feeling too perky. Even though in your current state of matrimonial bliss, is there an outside shot you could rub me down?
Absolutely. I'll put the ice in my mouth right now.
Thank you, Lisa. She's a good egg, that one. Oh, man. I'll send her one of my Oval Office songs.
We will be right back. Listen, call for Jeopardy. We'll be right back.
Call for Jeopardy.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Now, have we gone to break?
Don and Mike, O'Reilly, Ron and Fez, Redskins. 106.7.
What are they doing?
WJK.
Is television?
Accident outer loop southbound beltway just after I-66 ties up the left half of the roadway. You're jammed pretty much to the 270 spur to this
point. Young lady?
66 is in close, even the beltway out toward 123.
Tom Gavin?
Getting from Manassas to Gainesville.
Roar!
Metabolize. You're struggling to lose weight. Metabolize number one for a reason. It works. Look for Metabolize products, Walmart, Target, Walgreens, or wherever you shop. Metabolize. Fear abruptly down to Mike Show, WJFK.
Jet FDR. Hello, Bob Dole. Bob Dole. Are we in a commercial break? I have to make water.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Ms. Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong. It constituted a critical lapse in judgment and a personal failure on my part for which I am solely and completely responsible.
The Don and Mike Show.
They're dope on the floor, and they're magic on the mic. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We just mentioned there that about 25 minutes from now, we'll have the real Joe Millionaire on. Evan Marriott.
Guess what you missed during the commercial break, Don?
Be on the telephone with us.
Yeah,
what did I miss?
Somebody went doo-doo.
Oh, the old man?
The lie. The total lie. I didn't do.
I smell DM in here.
The smell of my skin. He's lying. I think he made a patty.
Bob? What? Bob?
What do you want? Don't antagonize me.
Pull down your pants. Let me just see your underpants.
I will not do any such thing.
If you've got nothing to hide, pull down your underpants.
That's not true. I broke wind. That's all it was.
Pull down your underpants.
That's more than wind.
Pull down your pants.
All right, here you go.
Let me see your underpants.
There you go. Take a look.
Oh,
I'm terribly sorry.
And that looks like one of Saddam's oil fields.
That's not true. No, they're brown. They're brown briefs. I'm putting them back up now.
They're not the...
Well, you just have to tolerate it because I'm Bob Dole.
There's a big brown spot back there.
Hey, get Bob Dole bagel. You'll have to sit there and suffer.
I guess we will. Man, whoo, doggy. That is painful, isn't it?
Hold on. If we got to be honest here.
Yeah.
Bill.
Yeah.
You've had your share of farts in this studio.
Well, I have over the years. That's true.
You've never made in here.
Let me tell you something. I never once made a patty when I was here on your show. And you put me under a great deal of pressure and a great deal of scrutiny. But, I'm glad to be here.
How things go with Lisa?
Oh, great. She gave me a great look. I don't have any marks on me, man.
Look at that.
She took some Neosporin to my cuts and then put some lotion on me everywhere. Just like she always does.
Hey, Bob?
She put some lotion on me, and then I gave her a few tablespoons of number 3.
Bob?
Yeah.
I bet you got it. Bob's got to be disgusted by that.
I'm disgusted by the tone of behavior. But since I have food in my pants, I'll be sitting back here in the corner. I will only be coming into your game to read the prize. I'll be over here in the corner in my own filth.
These are the guys that are on 60 Minutes. It's Bob Dole.
Can you have a wooden spoon?
Bill Clinton.
I need a wooden spoon to clean up.
President Clinton, let's play low-budget Jeff Hardy.
It's spreading.
All right, I'll try to ignore that. Now, this is your former president. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is an insurance underwriter from Fredericksburg. Let's say hi to the very lovely Jennifer O'Hara. Hello, dear.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jennifer.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good.
What are you doing right now? Playing the game, I guess, huh?
Yes.
Are you having a good time?
I'm having a great time.
I could speak with you for hours.
You got to talk to the other guy.
All right. And now entering the studio is the facilities manager from Seattle, Washington, one of your newer affiliates. I listen all the time. Let's say hi to Ken Brown. He can relate to our senator over there.
Same color as Bob Dole's underpants.
Hey, shut up, anyway.
Good day, Bob. Bill, LQ. How are you?
Howdy.
And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. I'd like to tell Jennifer and Ken not to screw with LQ and say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Bill, and
thank you.
And Bob, wherever you are back there.
Back in the corner in my own filth.
Cleaning yourself with a spoon.
I need an orderly.
Here are your categories. They are Clinton Dole on TV.
Very good. I appreciate the promo. That's good. Very good stuff, Don.
Celebrity news.
Uh-huh.
former Don and Mike show interns slash or people who had Joe's job.
I've known a few of them.
Joe.
Shut up.
NFL free agents.
I hate
teams.
All of you. I hate you, Bill.
He's not doing well, is he?
He's very old.
I'm sorry. He interrupted you. Go again, please.
That's, let me see. Don and Mike show interns, yeah. Former interns, NFL free agents changing teams.
I love football.
And new on Divid home video.
Very good.
Bob, you remember back in the day when you played with what? Just a stone, a rock?
I actually played with human heads. We play football with human heads of our vanquished opponents on the fields of Roman Empire. Oh.
He's pathetic.
It smells like BM in here.
It does.
Get me a wooden spoon. You won't have that problem any longer.
Jennifer.
Yes.
Jennifer, you are a girl. We like girls better than boys. Let's go with you.
I'm sitting in a stinging reminder of my age.
Let's take New on DVD 1, please.
New on DVD. All right. Stars Eddie Murphy.
What is...
I'm sorry, dear. Sorry, you didn't get that one. Ken, your chance to steal here.
What is Pluto Nash?
No. Negative. I Spy.
I Spy, yeah. It wasn't a big theatrical success, was it?
It was not.
Jennifer, dear. Hello, are you there?
I'm good.
Are you still having a good time?
I am.
I'm good. I'm glad for you. Jennifer, you're still in control. Select again, please, dear.
Take New on DVD for 2.
How are you?
Stars Lichelle Pfeiffer.
What is White Oleander?
Yeah, right there. See, a girl would get that White Oleander. You ever bang that Michelle Pfeiffer?
I saw that White Oleander.
Yes, she
showed that to me. Yes, her husband was a big supporter of my campaign. That was my standard operating procedure. Money from the husband. Sex from the wife. That's the way it worked. It was a brown oleander. I like that kind.
What about with you, Bob? Was it? Were they traded pelts with you? Is that what happened?
I'm dealing with my own brown oleander right now. And I don't wish to be disturbed. Just leave an old man alone to die in his filth.
All right, for 3. And
Jennifer's in control.
Jennifer.
Yes.
Stars Greg Kinnear. This movie stars Greg Kinnear.
Oh.
I know. Getting your chance to steal, but I know this one.
About Schmidt?
Negative.
No.
It's that one. It's that sex one.
Autofocus.
He liked to make pornographic movies of his sex act.
Bob Crane, the guy from Hogan's Heroes.
It was a real tragedy that he no longer lived. I would have had him over to the Oval Office.
Hey, Bob Dole.
How do you want? I'm back here, not feeling very well.
You were really in World War II, weren't you?
World War II? Hell, I used to live in Atlantis.
Jennifer, dear. You're in control.
Let's try celebrity news for 1.
Celebrity news. This whorish pop star is writing 5 children's books.
Who's Madonna?
Yes.
$2 for you, and put that poor girl down. I am a fan of Madonna. So always have been.
I know it's your assignment here, Bill, but Bob...
What do you want now? I'm trying to sit there and try to catch a nap.
You knew the original Madonna, didn't you?
I did. The Madonna, Mother of God, Mother of Jesus, Mary. Mary, Mother of God, the Madonna. I knew her. And I was familiar sales lady.
Oh, Madonna
too.
Madonna friends.
Leave me alone.
Okay. Jennifer, here you go for 2. This West Wing's anti-war views have gotten his Visa card commercial canceled.
Who is Martin Sheen?
Yes, Martin Sheen.
$2 for Jennifer. Hey, snuck over to the microphone. I pushed panty waist away.
Leave me alone. Go over and sit. The smell is unbearable in here.
Noah was anti-war. All right. Ready again, Jennifer.
You mean Noah, the guy with the boat?
2 by 2. I'll be over here if you need me. I'm over here now.
All right, for 3.
Very good.
Jennifer, for 3. This former Good Morning America hostess is expecting twins with a surrogate mother.
Who's Joan London?
There you go. That's a good pull.
$3 for you, dear. You're doing a great job. Are you still having a good time, Jennifer?
I'm having such a great time.
And we are having one with you. All right, select again, please.
Clinton on TV.
And Dole on TV.
Forget about me, Jennifer. I'm back here.
I'm sorry.
I'm in my own movie.
Bill Clinton first publicly played the saxophone on TV on this late-night talk show.
What is Dave Letterman?
No.
Oh, dear, you're wrong. Ken, your chance to steal.
What is The Tonight Show?
Negative. Doesn't anybody remember Arsenio Hall?
I certainly do.
No.
Whoa. Arsenio in the dog pound.
The woof woof.
And I had my sunglasses, and I got laid that night. Oh, absolutely. Hollywood is wonderful. I wish I lived out there instead of Harlem.
Bob, what was it like when the TV was invented?
TV was very exciting innovation. It was very exciting back there, but not nearly as exciting as radio or the telegraph or the Pony Express. But we'd send messages across this great land of ours by horseback. Those were the good days, by golly. I remember that, and I brought down Jesse James.
Oh, good.
I did indeed. You can mock me and laugh, both of you, see James, young punk.
Jennifer?
Yes.
Jennifer,
select again, Jennifer.
For two, here you go. Bob Dole had our name screamed at him while he was on this late-night talk show.
It was Letterman.
Yeah, that's right, on Dave Letterman.
For you, yes, I remember. It was very, very funny. It was Nick Joe, your Korean intern.
Oh, you've just given away one of the answers.
I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to jump ahead.
That's okay.
That's all right.
That's, you know, the thing is, see, you're young and vibrant and hip and ready with the answers, and look at old...
Can I give you some White House Benoit balls?
look at the caveman back there.
I'm not a caveman. I'm a United States Senator. It's about time you remember that. Back in the day, those kind of words would be, remove your tongue is what we do. We'd hack your tongue out like we did back in the days of Socrates.
Hey, listen, I wanted to ask you that. Was watching a TV movie the other night?
Why, they relegated me to over here.
How were those Salem witch hunts?
They were terrible. It was a bad time in our history. I never should have burned any of those girls. Bob Dole was the chief prosecutor. That's right. I knew how to get a witch to burn. I could do that in 5 minutes or so. I'd say, she was out in the forest dancing around nude. That would get him every time.
Okay, we got to get back to the game. Jennifer, for
back
three.
To the game now.
Jennifer, yes. Just name one of the two products that Bob Dole has done national TV ads for.
One of the two?
Yeah.
Viagra.
That was not in the form of a question.
Man, oh man, I'll tell you, your chance to steal, Kent.
What is Viagra?
$3, and he finally gets on the board.
Yeah, we
were talking Viagra, and it got me excited. I just forgot all that.
I am certainly glad to hear that. All right, Kent, you strike again.
Former Don and Mike interns.
Yeah, you got to be a long-time listener to know these.
I love this category.
He screamed our names on the Letterman show.
It's Nick Joe.
Yeah, who's that? But you wouldn't have known that if Bubba hadn't given that to you.
That's true.
I was so glad to help you. Thank you. All right, go again. Select again, Kent.
Don and Mike, former interns for two, please.
Even dumber than Joe Ardinger. We had a major fight with this idiot during a snow event.
I'd love to say Rob, but I know that's wrong.
Oh, hey!
Jennifer, your chance to steal.
Such a pain in the ass, too.
He was. No. But I'm sure you remember it. Joe Rockhead.
Joe Rockhead.
Yes,
he was as dumb as a box of cotton balls.
He was.
All right, Ken, you're in control.
Let's go former Don and Mike intern to close it up.
Pretty.
Oh, you're making me laugh now. Ken?
Yes, sir.
Do you have an answer?
No, I don't.
Jennifer, your chance to steal.
I didn't understand the question.
It was very simple. It was very Homer-like. It was...
That meant she was pretty.
Pretty. Of course... Christine Kerner.
Christine Kerner.
Mm.
Oh, God. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, Ken, you're still in control, or is that the end of the first round?
No, we got the NFL free agents.
Oh, there you go for one. Is that right, Ken?
That's right.
All right
plug in the radio, Ken.
Ken, Brian Mitchell went from the Philadelphia Eagles to this team.
I have no idea.
The Philadelphia Athletics.
What was that?
Philadelphia Athletics. Oh, brave.
The Eagles.
Can Jennifer, your chance to steal. Well, it's all right.
Jennifer?
Yes?
You got a guess?
What is the Redskins?
No, honey, but it's okay because you're a girl. No, he went to the New York Giants.
Ken, you're in control.
Same category, please. NFL free agents.
Cordell Stewart went from the Pittsburgh Steelers to this team.
The Rams?
Oh. That was not the form of a question.
Jennifer, your chance to steal.
What is the Rams?
Oh, that's a no. The Bears.
And Ken, you're still in control.
Philadelphia Hebrews.
The three, the last.
Yeah, the last one.
Please. On the big board. Philadelphia Hebrews.
I said the Philadelphia Hebrews.
Peerless Price was traded from the Buffalo Bills to this team.
What is the Browns?
Jennifer, your chance to steal.
But is Carolina?
Yes, honey, the Atlanta Falcons. And that's it, we're done.
That's the end of the first round of Blood Bunch of Jeopardy.
Now, who's got what here, Bill?
Jennifer finishes with $11. I think I might have messed up the score, though, and Ken has $4. It doesn't matter. It's low budget Jeopardy.
All right, guys, here you go. We force you to bet it all. We physically finally force you to bet it all. Low budget Jeopardy, final round, and here's your category. Big Head's birthday. Good old Big Head. You know him.
Rob Stewart!
Right.
Someone called for a doctor?
Yeah, you know Robbie.
Look at that great big head. You wouldn't think that the brain inside it was no bigger than an English walnut, would you?
Just last weekend, my best buddy, Rob Spiewak, celebrated a birthday, making him this age. Just last Saturday, Rob A. had a birthday, making them this age. Give us the age. Don't forget, it's got to be in the form of a question, and... good luck.
My turn. I'm going to do it. All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy received the Bob Dole Book of Ancient Skills. A book that even the president could benefit from. A book of instruction on ancient skills. How many youngsters today know how to keelhaul a pirate or light a gas lantern? How many of our citizens can load a Civil War cannon or bring down a saber-toothed tiger? It's all there, Mr. President, in the Bob Dole Book of Ancient Skills. Get it right now and be prepared to make some war. All right. Now back to final Low Budget Jeopardy without Mr. Geronimo.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donald.
Now it's AK with cash for you and me. It's time for Don and Mike to play Low Budget Jeopardy.
I want to go to
Kenny's low man on the totem pole. I'm getting Mike to run away from Mr. President.
Bill, who's in charge here? Ken. He just had a birthday. Current age of our very own wonderful hump, Rob Spiewak.
What is 40?
Ouch.
Oh, no, that knocks you down to zero, Cam.
Jennifer, honey, you can win if you have the right answer.
I don't think I do, but I said 43.
And that was not even in the form of a question. 43. Rob's having a great laugh at this.
Sorry, Rob A.
Someone called for a doctor?
32. 32.
32. I remember when I was 32. Fire wasn't invented yet.
That means Alan Longmont loves his game. We give it away. No money. So listen, both of you, Jennifer and Ken, don't go away mad. Just go away. Here's Bob Dole to tell you what you want. Bob or Bill, I don't know who.
First of all, Jennifer, you want a pair of tickets before you can buy them to Ozfest 2003. I love Ozzy. At Nissan Pavilion, Friday, August 22nd, starring Ozzy Osbourne. Also featuring Korn, Disturbed, Marilyn Manson, Chevelle, and Trust Company. Tickets go on sale this Saturday at noon in all Ticketmaster locations and online at cc.com. Congratulations, dear.
That's awesome.
I want to give a prize to the boy.
All right, Ken.
Kevin. All right, Karen.
Kevin.
You've won a pair. That's exactly what I said. Kevin, you've won a pair of tickets to WrestleMania XIX at Safeco Field in Seattle on Sunday, March 30th. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster locations. Tickets are courtesy of the WWE. I'm not Bob Dole. Congratulations. Thanks
Thank
for playing
you,
the
Bob
game.
Bob Dole.
I wrestled in Athens, Greece. Back in the day, history, we'd wrestle nude.
Here's some good prizes. You got Ozfest. You got WrestleMania. Thank
I've
you both.
I've got a pie in my pants.
Have a great weekend.
You don't want to eat this chocolate pie.
Well, it's been great having both of you here. If only you were this good on 60 Minutes.
Yeah. Thank you, Don. I really think you gave us a nice forum to promote our new thing on 60 Minutes. Thank you. I'm sincere about that.
Thank you, Bill and Bob.
Thank you very much. Wheel me out of here.
All right,
I need to be cleansed.
Always remember, never forget, Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of...
Low Budget Jeopardy, that's a hybrid. Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of Coron Incorporated and is distributed by King World.
What's a hybrid?
Tell the boy to stop handing up the signs. It's confusing the entertainer.
I got you.
God damn it, Rob. Big head.
There we go. In the middle.
Was Rob writing too much?
He gets a little crazy when Bob Dole's around. He loves the old stuff.
He does.
He does indeed.
Well, when we come back... for real, Evan Marriott.
Wow. Very good.
Joe Millionaire. We'll see what's happening in between those ears when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Well, if you believe in me, then I'm not going to give up. I'll prove I'm right. This Friday, we're going back to the woods, and we're going to find that alien.
What if we don't?
We'll fake it and sell it to the Fox Network.
They'll buy anything.
Now, son, they do a lot of quality programming, too. Kill me.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right.
I don't know that one.
Sweeter than Vince Lombardi's caramelized scrotum. The Don and Mike Show.
That's what I'm told. Well, I just saw the light go on and the light go off. You know, quite often I'm asked by the higher-ups, by the Nimrods, the dickheads, the management types.
Right.
Why don't you run the show on a schedule? Mm-hmm. If you ran the show on a schedule, you'd have a lot more affiliates because you would have stop times that they would know.
Right.
And I say, well, it's the spontaneous nature of the show. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, like today, we work very hard to hit a mark.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And whenever we work hard to hit the mark, the dickhead either doesn't come through or is late. And we're now 4 minutes past.
There we go.
The mark. Oh, well.
Okay. Hey, that's pretty good.
Cancel that, then.
Absolutely.
Hello? Hey, Evan.
How you doing?
Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Evan Marriott.
Yeah. Here I was just bitching, and you're 3 minutes late, so...
And now he's here.
Get over it.
All right. And I shall. Well, gosh, how far up your bung shall we climb?
Well, I mean, he's got to be, I would imagine, just a little bit sick of this crap.
Evan, are you sick of of course, Evan Marriott, Joe Millionaire. You sick of talking to DJs?
No, I don't really mind. I mean, it's, I don't mind going on talk shows. I don't mind talking to DJs, and that's why I'm coming to D.C., and I'm actually looking forward to it.
Would you like to give us the one question that you don't wish us to ask because it's been asked too many times?
How has this changed my life?
Oh, really? Okay, good. I got another one. That's good.
We wouldn't ask.
I just wanted
what
to
happened?
Know.
Oh, actually, there's two that are, I know I can only pick one.
No, you can have two.
What's the other one?
What happened in the woods and how this has changed my life.
You see, I'd really be more curious about whether, you know, what everybody's saying, is it still happening between you two or not?
No.
No.
All right.
The reason I like that question is because it's a real simple answer. It's one word. It's no.
No.
I'll tell you something. Mike and I had a bet when that show originally came on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you were surprised by the ending. But I thought even Fox wouldn't be so cruel as to string out 25 or 20 girls with you. And Mike and I had a bet that at the end, you'd get money or they'd get money. I said, in some way, you'd end up with $1 million. And you were
right.
You were pretty close. Now, did you and Zora split that 50-50?
Yeah, we were both presented with $1 million, and we split it down the middle. And then we split it again when Uncle Sam dipped into it.
Yeah, that's a rude awakening.
And the irony of the whole thing is I ended up having $19,000 again. So that turned out really well.
Well, listen, who didn't like that show? You're a part of TV history.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, instantaneous household name.
How have the vultures been coming after you, Evan, since the show got off the air?
You know, it's funny. I haven't gotten many offers for things. Like, people haven't been, you know, beating at my door to do endorsements or anything. But I have met with some people, you know, that are in the movie industry, and I've met with some television people that are pretty big names in television that want to try to do some things. I met with E! Entertainment the other night, just yesterday, as a matter of fact, for some things.
Are you going to, do you have people that are, you know, helping you negotiate through the quagmire of all this stuff, or are you doing
it? Yeah, I have a manager, and I have a woman that's handling, the little money I've had, but she's, you know, she's taking care of that.
And how many times have you gotten laid since the show, since you broke up with Zora?
I don't.
Maybe you've been asked.
I'm doing okay. That's all.
I figure you are.
Maybe you've been asked this one a lot, but I saw you on Regis a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And Regis, like everybody, was doing the whole,
You know, same thing we were doing, you know, she got a rugged body. And, you know, it seemed to me that you were going along with the joke, but you were a little pissed. First off, were you really pissed when people were doing the whole, you know, she's got a rocket body? And beyond that, when you're on a show like Regis, when you know the outcome of the show and you already know what's going to happen, how tough was it for that whole time to go out and promote when you knew how the show was going to end? How'd you keep the freaking secret?
You just keep your mouth shut. That's actually kind of fun knowing that you know something that no one else knows, you know?
You ever get someone like Regis?
And I'm not worried about, I mean, if the only thing that people can comment on is how I commented on a girl's body, I mean, just think of how stupid that is.
Well, actually...
I mean, the biggest thing that they have, I mean, and they think it's funny and they're making fun of me for saying this girl had a rockin' body. I mean, how asinine is that?
Well,
Was it a rockin' body or a rocket body?
Well, I said a rockin' body, and I think I said a rocket body. I meant to say rockin', so I just left it.
Okay.
You meant to
say rockin'.
No, right. You should know, though, that it's
been... But you do have a rock, too. You should build, like, a little set rocket.
Yeah, that would have been better.
I mean, am I ashamed to say that?
No. I like that better, a sex rocket.
Listen, Evan, like it.
I'm a red-blooded American male. You know, I'm just, you know, I call it like I see it.
Like it or not.
Go up there and go, wow, she was really swell. She was just a really... swell girl. Wow, she was really neato.
Now it has become, at least, you know, in the short term here, it's become a part of American speak. I mean, I've got a son who's going to be 18 in 2 weeks, and I will say to him, you know, how is so-and-so doing? Oh, boy, I saw you with that girl. And he'll say to me, she had a rocket body. It's just something now. Yeah. We use it on the show when we talk about women.
It's the best thing.
It's got curves. It's streamlined. It's, you know, it's, smooth.
Well, listen, you're not a dick. We were glad to see that at the end of the show, that you weren't a dick. We, you know, like everybody, we thought you made the right choice.
Yeah, the end of that show, really, when I watched the end of that show, it was such the... I don't think the producers or anybody associated with it could have planned it to be any more of a fairy tale ending. I mean, it's absolutely, it almost, and I got suspicious at the end. I really did, because did you, when you saw it, after you digested it, were you surprised that it came out in that kind of fairy tale way?
No, I knew it was going to come out in that fairy tale way. And actually, to tell you the truth, I was on Loveline yesterday with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Right.
And I explained to them, you know, it's reality TV is about, and like I said, I'm not bashing reality TV. I think it's wonderful. It serves its purpose. The purpose, it entertains. You know what I mean?
Right.
But there's only so much... The best way to describe this is that you can't dictate the future. You can't dictate reality. So if they put myself and these 20 girls out there and said, go have at it, and we'll just, however the outcome is however the outcome is, you'd have no show. That you have to guide the show. The show, they knew how they wanted the show to end, and so how is it real when you're told how the show is supposed to end? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand
and
that.
So it's probably about 50% reality, and it's about 50% scripted. And not scripted by they give you lines, because they also tried to do that as well. We did a lot of the VO. But you know, they kind of say, hey, you know, this is how we want it to look. This is how we want it to end. You know, at the end, when I didn't know if she was going to show up at that, you know, get-together at the end, right?
Right.
The ring.
Yeah.
I knew goddamn well she was going to show up.
All right. I
wasn't stressing it. They were like, ooh, Evan, you look nervous. I was like, bull crap.
All right. I got one more question for you, and then we want you to take a little quiz. The part where you're outside talking to the guy, and they're using, like, the night vision.
Oh, God.
True or false, they ambushed you with that, and you didn't know... that you were being... I read somewhere
true.
That you said to them, turn
true.
Off the effing cameras. Okay, well then now...
True, true, and true. And I don't talk to that producer anymore.
Okay, so how pissed
were... He's tried to call me and apologize. He's seen me on a couple shoots, and I look right through him. Mm-hmm. I have no tolerance for it.
You remember the scene? They're standing on a rooftop, or they're out on a balcony, and he's saying, this is eating in my brain. I can't, you know, I can't take all this. And it looks like it's done with hidden cameras. And I read... Now, how pissed were you when you saw that on the show?
Well, this is the deal. That was a 45-minute conversation. And the part you saw was probably about 10 minutes of that 45-minute conversation. The real reason I was out on that balcony was right before my date with Zora. And the real reason it was in Corsica, the real reason I was out on that balcony is because I had it up to, like, I mean, I was just up to my ears and just full, I like to say full.
Right.
You'll beep it. You'll beep it. With the production company, because they were lying to me, they were lying to the girls, they were, you know, they just weren't up front with us. And I mean, they were blatant lies. I mean, everybody's all caught up on the lie that the girls were told, you know, by Fox and everything. But, you know, and I told him, I said, you know what, I just need some time to myself. I need time to think about all this. You know, I'm second guessing whether I should have even done the show. And I told one of the girls that I needed some time by myself. And she goes, well, we're getting ready to go. And I'm like, well, we're not going to shoot this date until I'm ready to go. And I was like, so you can just leave my room.
Wow.
And so she sent the guy that I'm talking with, his name is Ray Giuliani.
Yeah.
He, not to be confused with, you know.
Yeah, right. The New York City guy, right.
Yeah, no, he kind of came to the room. He goes, Evan, what's wrong? And he was the producer that was signed to me, and he went with me everywhere I went. And he told me that he was my buddy, and he was looking out for me. But what he was a mediator between me and the other production crew.
You know, that's...
So
that's...
everything I would say, he would say, oh, that's just between you and me. And then he'd run back and tell them.
Mm. God,
so when he came
sucks.
Out... When he came into the room, he says, oh, Evan, you know, what's wrong, buddy? And it makes me feel all warm and fuzzy. And I was like, Ray, I really don't want to talk right now. I just want time to myself. Oh, don't worry about it. Just take your mic off and let's step outside on the balcony so everyone hears us. And take your mic off, shut it off, put it on the bed. Well, he was mic'd.
He was wired, yeah. Right.
Wow, yeah. That's a pisser. God damn it, that's a pisser.
One thing I want
to say, well, Evan, that made you, at the end, you know, and, you know, that made you look endearing, you know, when you were caring about the girls and you said this in private, knowing you knew you thought you weren't being taped and you really showed how you felt. And I said, well, that's great. And that's all, you know, fine and dandy, but you lied to me. And that's the bottom line.
And you know, the one thing, and I sense that because of that, it wasn't everything that you expected it to be. But I did want to ask you about your relationship with the butler, who became, really, just as much as you did, became an overnight star. How was your relationship with him? He comes across as being a very likable guy on camera.
Great guy.
Yeah, I mean, a real guy's guy, right?
Oh, yeah, man. He would, and when the show, when we were through taping it then each day, the guy would go back and throw on his tennis shoes and jeans and go down to with one in the town and grab a beer. And he's a good dude.
Yeah, all right, that's great. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Cool. All right, good to know. Well, listen, obviously everybody watched the show. You're it. You're going to be part of TV history. And it's nice to have you on the show and hear that you're a regular guy.
It's nice to hear the candid assessment of the way some of the behind the scenes that America doesn't know about what goes on behind some of these. And I'm sure it happens on all these shows.
You know, the scene that I'm sure a lot of guys loved was the scene that when I'm in the hot tub with the girls and Zora leaves and I stay with the three girls.
Right.
Well, that's cut differently as well.
Really?
What people don't know is when Zora is walking up to the house, I'm toweling off. And she looks at me and says, it's cold out here, because she's done toweling off. She says, it's cold out here. I'm going to go to the house. And I'm like, okay. When they show me back in this hot tub, that's a scene from when Zora was in the hot tub. You just don't see Zora.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
That's huge.
Editing. That
wow.
is huge. That
so,
is.
So, Evan, listen, when you're watching this then, and I'm guessing you're watching it real time like all of us were on Monday nights, how pissed would you get when things would be edited out of context like that?
That didn't bother me as much because I knew they were just playing around with it and they had to do that. I got into entertainment mode when I realized this is all for entertainment. This was to appease people that were like, man, I hope he scores with three chicks in a hot tub.
That is a great insight.
I hope he blows that bitch Zora off or whatever. If these particular people didn't like her,
she was
a really sweet girl.
Would you ever?
Well, and I would never, you know, not being chivalrous or trying to be, you know, overly gentlemanly, but I just... You know, I would never do that. If I'm on a date with a girl and three girls come in and crash it, unless they're naked, I ain't getting out of that. They weren't getting naked.
Would you ever consider writing a book about what really happened?
I would
read that.
What really goes on behind the scenes at reality TV, you know?
Well, in fact, my manager mentioned something about me writing a book, period, just on my life. And I said, man, people would be asleep after this first chapter.
But, I mean, if you really offered some insight as far as, you know, I think that would be a very, very interesting read. I mean, you're obviously getting a lot of offers. That might be a very interesting route to take to not only, you know, to keep the thing going, make a little money in the process, but also enlighten some people about what really goes on with these shows. Because, I mean, most of the stuff you've mentioned here, I would have no idea if you weren't telling me that.
Yeah. There's a lot of things people didn't realize when they watched the show. And
one last question.
You know, like another thing, and this is, in the girls' defense, I really think they didn't portray the girls in the best light. You know, the Heidi was not a total bitch, but they
was that the girl with the
making her look like one that she,
Is that the girl with the sideways mouth?
The crooked mouth.
Yeah. I talk out of the side of my mouth. I don't know if people realize
that. Well, I think they have to have heroes and villains, and I think you're probably right that they made them like... I know Sarah at the very end, I mean, they had to have the good and the bad, and they certainly did everything they could to make it.
Here's something you guys will really like. You know at the end... I love this stuff. You know at the end of the show, and I'm telling both of the girls that I don't have $50 million.
Right.
And they show Sarah, you know, with this look on her face like somebody just shot her puppy. Yeah,
right.
They made her wait for me for an hour and a half. And the shots that you're seeing of her, because you notice when they pan over to her, you don't really see me.
Right.
In the room. Because those are facial shots of her in silence. Getting pissed because waiting an hour and a half for me.
Evan, listen, I want to tell you something. You should keep all this to yourself and write a book. I'm telling you, this
you would make a fortune. Yeah. And you know, because really, America got so effing caught up with this show that really that would be people would that book would fly off the shelf.
So there were, and I got to think there were a million shots like that out.
Yeah, the whole
Anzora. Sarah and Zora. In fact, they even showed a little shock, you know, like some kind of... They showed a pause with Zora when I told her.
Yeah.
Like, she was hesitating.
Mm-hmm.
She never hesitated once. When I said, I don't have $50 million, I no sooner got it out of my mouth than she said, oh, what a relief. And Sarah said almost the same thing. Sarah said, oh, I don't care. We had a great time.
That's amazing.
We were both really sweet girls.
Well, they had to
make one of the girls look like a bitch.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if anybody got really screwed on that show, it would be Sarah. I was thinking about that in the end, you know, that would be really a tough situation. And she wasn't there, I guess, for the end of the show when they had the viewing when they were all there and they all got together. And she's still bitter. I mean, do you have any contact with any of the girls besides Zora?
No, you know, I would like... If at one point could get in touch with Sarah, however, I'm not going to go to any great lengths to do it, but if I ever saw her again, it would be great because she and I had more in common in common with each other than any other kind of relationship set up on that show. Mm-hmm. But I picked Zora not out of default or because I felt sorry for her, but because she was a sweet girl and she had, I sat there and listened to her life. And she wasn't feeding me a line or a load of crap. I mean, I really wanted, and I didn't know we were getting the money, but I wanted her to be the last girl standing.
All right. That's cool.
You know?
And Evan, you know what? We have girls come down to our show all the time, play games, take their clothes off. I'll tell you what the Zora got me with it. You wouldn't know it to look at her wearing clothes, but when she went swimming and stuff, she had some jugs, right?
Oh, God, those things were gargantuan.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually kind of frustrated because she was real self-conscious about her body and everything, and she was just a full, not full, even full figure. She was just a big-boned girl, you know?
Yeah, she looked good.
She probably would have looked great and phenomenal if she lost, like, 10 pounds or something, but I'm telling you, camera throws on about 20.
Right. You know? Okay.
And she was a real pretty girl, and she had this tank top she would wear when we would go swimming, and I would just say, Zora, you know, ease up. You know,
I'd say you expect a few things when you're going to do an interview with somebody. I would say this interview is a 10, would you not? I mean,
absolutely.
We got some stuff we didn't expect we'd get. Thank you very much.
Evan, before we let you go, we know you got a million commitments. We would be honored if you would take our sex quiz.
This has been taken by celebrities all around the globe.
Are you ready?
Okay.
Right. Okay, I've been told you, Evan has already been said okay to this before we started the show.
Very good.
Evan Marriott, have you ever been in a three-way or enjoyed group sex?
Three-way.
Yeah. Have you ever had sex with a woman while she's menstruating?
Yes.
Have you ever had a homosexual experience?
No.
Oh, no. That is no.
No.
Have you ever made love in your parents' home?
Yes.
Have you ever enjoyed hot interracial sex?
Yes.
Have you ever gotten your jerk on in front of others?
Like, I don't understand that question.
Have you ever
ever whacked it in front of a girl?
There, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Good man.
Have you ever had sex in a public place?
Oh, God. You know what? Actually, if you consider... Yeah, actually, I would probably say not with a crowd of people around, but yeah. Yeah.
Right. Very good. Place. Have you ever been filmed or photographed while having sex?
No.
Have you ever had sex in the no-no? You know, yeah, where food comes out.
No, I'm thinking no. I've had Yeah, with a girl, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Right. Right. No, that's right. No, we didn't mean where you. We didn't ask
I'm,
if you had
I'm
been.
I'm thinking, whoa, man, isn't that the same thing
no.
as a homosexual?
No, we
didn't mean if you were catching.
Pitching, not catching.
I was throwing. I was pitching.
Okay. Evan, have you gotten your jerk on today?
No.
No.
Three more questions. Have you ever had sex in a car?
Oh, yeah, that was where the public place was. it was in a parking lot in a car. So.
Okay. You ever had sex with a stranger? You know, a girl you just picked up?
Oh, every guy has. not off the street. I mean, we had drinks, and, you know, and I met her at a bar.
No problem.
And finally, to the nearest 10, 50, 100, or 1,000, what do you estimate your total number of sexual partners to have been?
What were the numbers?
To the nearest 10, 50, 100, or 1,000.
Oh, God. You know what? Honestly, I'm being dead honest, I wouldn't know. I'm sure it's probably 50.
50. All right. Buzz, how did Evan Marriott do?
I couldn't be prouder of Joe Millionaire with 9 yes answers and 50 partners. Congratulations, Evan Marriott.
Very strong score.
Very good score. Nice.
Wait, I mean, how we say it's a strong score, but what are we basing
it? Well, you know what it is really, Evan, what it is like the Boy Scout or, you know, Diamond Dallas Page, for example, is probably the most oversexed person ever to take the test.
But
he had, 1,000?
Why is that? In fact, I'm an acquaintance of Diamond Dallas. Why is that?
5,000 partners, did he say?
4,000 women he did.
Yeah, 4,000 partners.
I'll tell you that you're just about where a guy like Dennis Franz was.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, same score. 9 yes answers. Yeah. I don't remember Dennis's partner.
Dennis Franz from NYPD Blue had about the same 9 mm-hmm. answers, yes. And I think, really, people would be disappointed if the score was any lower.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Hey, Evan.
Well, if I had more partners, would it send my score down or up?
No. That is, the last question is, it has nothing to do
with it. Does not affect your score.
We don't really even keep score.
And really, there's not a grading curve, Evan. It's just kind of like, right. You know, it's we've all taken it on the show, and we all take it for fun.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
But it is what it is.
You know? It is what it is.
And like Mike said, we're blown away. We thought that. We wanted to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Who didn't watch the goddamn show?
Right.
But you're engaging. You're honest. I'm telling you, the stuff that you were telling us on the show.
If that wouldn't make a best-selling book, nothing would really.
You should talk into a tape recorder and make a book.
And you know, it's really. I think it's kind of cool that somebody who's had this experience would. You know, I don't want to say rat people out, but just, you know, pull back the curtain a little bit. Because really, especially in this climate now where everybody's copying everybody with these reality shows, I think it's time for somebody to pull back the curtain a little
anyway,
bit.
Anyway, we're really, really impressed. You're a good guy. Thanks for being on our show.
Thank you. My pleasure. I've had a great time.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Evan. And stop by when you're in D.C.
Will do.
All right. See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
What a guy.
It's hard to read him because he's... I think he got put through the mill a little bit. Yeah. It's pretty obvious he went through the mill.
I was totally ready to go on him with the rugged body. But, hey, listen, the dude said some stuff that I didn't expect him to say.
He's pumped up. It's like he's got a lot to get off his chest. And when you made that suggestion, really, I mean, I'm sure he's getting the E! Network and everybody else coming to him. But, I mean, write the book and tell the story about what really happened. Yeah. People would love to know that. The thing that amazed me was the hot tub that they edited. They did the trick editing on the hot tub.
And seriously, what about making those girls wait for an hour and a half, and then they're cutting in the footage of them being pissed off?
It's so premeditated to make them wait that long to get the footage and to get the tight shot.
I knew about the editing. The thing that surprised me the most, and we sort of brushed right by it, was the voiceovers. The fact that they would give the participants lines to read into microphones that later, after the shooting, that they would dub in later. That I didn't know about.
Yeah, I wanted to go Buzz. I saw Buzz's eyebrows go when the guy said VO, and said, you know, voiceover.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anyway, very interesting.
Yeah.
He is Joe Marriott.
Yeah.
Or Evan Marriott, right. Joe Millionaire.
Right.
Anyway, not a dickhead like we thought he might be.
I'd love to go out with the guy and, you know, just hang around for the seconds.
Yeah. Or the thirds.
Or the fourth.
Yeah.
Or the
fifth. Okay, we got a break. Thank you, Evan. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You like Huey Lewis in the news?
Their early work was a little too new wave for my taste. When sports came out in '83, I think they really came into their own.
commercially and artistically.
The whole album has a clear, crisp sound and a new sheen of consummate professionalism that really gives the songs a big boost.
He's been compared to Elvis Costello, but I think Huey has a far more bitter, cynical sense of humor.
In 87, Huey released this, four, the most accomplished album. I think their undisputed masterpieces, Hip to Be Square, Songs So Catchy. Most people probably don't listen to the lyrics, but they should, because it's not just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance of friends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. Hey, Paul!
They will put the boom boom booty on ye, Don and Mike.
Well, everybody's talking about that Evan Marriott.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
one what we expected.
Yeah,
that's for sure. I had like 10 minutes scheduled. We could have gone way longer with him.
Well, he wanted to talk, which was a surprise, too. You would think the guy's done a million interviews. He probably just want to get it over with.
He really should shut up about that and write the book.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
Hey, I just want to give you guys props. That was the best interview I ever heard of a Don and Mike show. And
we don't have many, so thanks.
You know what? And my favorite part was when you asked him if he ever jailed in front of others. And he was like, what did he say?
Well, you say whack it.
You mean whack it?
Yeah, he's like, whack. Hey. He's like, do you mean to ever whack in front of another chick? In front of a chick?
You mean whack
in front of girls?
There were a lot of parts of that. Yeah. Like, said that Zora had some nice jugs. And what did he say, Mike?
Gargantuan.
Gargantuan.
He's a character.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, what did he say when he got... You guys got cut off when you asked the no-no question?
We asked him about the no-no, and he said in the A.
In the A.
Do you mean in the A?
Yeah.
Yeah, that got dumped out.
You ever have a one-night stand of sex with a stranger? Doesn't all every guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's a great interview.
He was funny. I was really not expecting he's bitter. He sounds bitter too.
Little,
like,
yeah.
He went through a lot with those people.
Well, a lot of that behind the scenes Fox stuff really is stuff you should write a book about. Like, who wouldn't be interested to know more stuff? I was just on the phone with my wife. We were talking about, like, the hot tub scene.
Yeah.
How out of context that was.
That's pretty
nasty. When you know all the stuff that Fox did, still it's a good show.
Mm-hmm.
We all watched it, but... And the reaction... So, he says, I don't have $50 million, and they splice in a shot of Zora or Sarah... being mad.
Not responding for a while. Yeah.
But because they've been waiting for an hour and a half.
Exactly. And it's out of context stuff. And, he enlightened us on a lot of that. I mean, the thing is, the show is so darn hot to actually hear these insights. You know, normally, whoop the effing do. But, man, everybody was watching that. It's great.
Hey, he was good. Agreed. Very good. Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, guys. First of all, that didn't surprise me about the length between edits. I think that's true of just about any of these reality shows. I think for dramatic tension with the music and everything, I think they make the pauses much longer than they are.
Yeah, but what he was saying was he made the girl wait an hour and a half. Then he says, I don't have $50 million. And they go back and they take a moment...
A different shot.
...from when she was waiting an hour and a half to be interviewed.
Just sitting on that couch in that big room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that part of it I would have never expected. I mean, the delay part, it seems to be common practice on The Bachelor and when they're giving out the roses and all of those shows. It's definitely not reality. I mean, it's what the director wants it to be.
Well, I think really, as Don suggested, if he has a ghostwriter, of course. If he has a ghostwriter...
That's what I said, talking to a tape recorder.
You know, and just have him give us a little bit of a behind-the-scenes. People would be interested to know about that.
I mean, sell out Fox. What the hell? Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, yeah. Great show, guys.
Hey, the only thing I didn't get to... Hold on a second. The only thing I didn't get to ask him, I was curious, how much you got paid? I mean, besides the $500,000 of which the IRS took half of, I wonder what he got paid...
You got to go to France.
...for being on the show.
You got to go to Corsica.
Hello.
Wasn't it funny when he said that, too?
Yeah.
That's when we were in Corsica.
Are you there, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, great show, guys. I'm calling from Portland, Maine.
Right.
Definitely on about writing the book.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I didn't even watch the show, but after hearing what he had to say, I would definitely buy the book.
Wait a minute, you didn't watch Joe Millionaire?
You're the guy.
No, not at all. The interview was wrestling.
And as Rob pointed out, Evan Marriott went to wrestling school.
Yeah,
true. Which is how he knew Diamond Dallas Page.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Right.
And he was also some kind of queer underwear model for a while.
Yes, he was.
Funny. All right, thank you. What, Robbie?
You know what was funny is that he was very fast to talk about who was hot and who talked out of the side of their mouth and who had gargantuan breasts, but as soon as you brought up Diamond Dallas Page, he's like, hold it. I know Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, man, what are you saying about him?
Don't you rag on him, man.
Did he have a good score?
Did he whack it? Hello. I didn't like Joe. You mean in the A?
He was so into the sex quiz. Into the sex quiz like it was really a quiz.
Yeah.
Concerned about his score. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, he's a good guy.
Yeah. He is a very good guy.
We went into it with very cynical thoughts.
I mean, he really didn't have anything bad to say about the two. You know, said he was just honest. That's what, I mean, I really like the honesty of the guy saying, I'm not going to go crazy trying to find her, but I wouldn't mind having a reunion with her.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't go out of my way. Like,
I mean,
if she called him, he'd probably bang her.
Right, absolutely. The guy's guy.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don and Mike. Don't they usually find a contract and, like, Fox owns them for a couple of years after the shows, you know, like Survivor? They can't do anything without their permission.
I don't think so. Well, I think that was proven by the fact that he was on the air saying less than flattering things about Fox.
I think he's a free man now.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Based on that interview.
Mm-hmm. Well, you never know. You never know what Fox might. I don't know. Has he said this anywhere else? I haven't heard him say anything.
No, I've not heard it either.
Mm-hmm. I think you guys got an exclusive.
You know, who knows? But, I mean, it was certainly interesting stuff. I haven't heard it before.
No. Well, anyway.
Cool.
I've never talked to him before. It was the first time I'd heard it. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yo. Hey, man, I heard on a different show that he didn't get paid anything for that.
That he didn't get paid a regular stipend for when he went over there?
Well, no, that's impossible because to be on a show, if you're like a member of Screen Actors Guild, you have to get something.
I think what he said is that they paid for his rent or his mortgage or rent or whatever he had in the place that he had been living previously. And the expenses during the show, but other than that, he wasn't really getting...
Ah, come on, you're an idiot. Listen, we know very little about Hollywood, but we do know this. To be on a television show, you have to be a member of the Screen Actors Guild.
And you have to have a rockin' body.
And if you're in the Screen Actors Guild, there's a minimum that you get for being on a TV show. I know that because we are still getting residual checks for our 2-second appearance on Babylon 5.
When we didn't have a speaking part, and you stole a line, and then I copied you and said thank you, and we both ended up having speaking parts, therefore we joined the Screen Actors Guild.
Do you think there was any sort of loophole because it was shot out of the country?
No, I don't think so.
Is there any sort? Does it have to be American soil for AFTRA or SAG?
You mean because they shot it in Corsica?
Hello, Don, my show.
France?
Hello?
Don?
Yeah?
I just was calling to ask why you didn't ask Kevin about his... Running with Leah Remini.
Oh, that's right. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, on The View. Well, you know, frankly, I didn't think that he would say the stuff that he said.
And quite frankly, based on the interview, we have to take Evan's side against Leah.
Yeah, because of all the things that, you know, you saw on the show, he seemed to be a pretty cool guy.
Absolutely.
I agree.
And Leah might have been having one of her days.
Yeah,
I have to say that now Evan Marriott is our best Hollywood friend. And I certainly hope that word of that gets back to Leah Remini.
It'll probably be this weekend all over Vivian's.
Hi, my name is Angelo. May I suggest, what was the
Meatloaf. And there's something else, too, that they...
It was the big special or something like that.
Omelet.
What was it?
He loved the spinach omelet.
Spinach omelet.
Spinach omelet at Vivian's. Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello? Never mind. That's you're not great. Even there. You know, we're kind of semi-feuding with Leah anyway.
Are we?
Well, here's why. It's not a big deal that she went on Howard's show. We've already established that she has to do what she has to do to promote her show. But it got back to me, and I heard a tape that she was on Howard's show a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
Like the day after she had been on the phone with us. She was in New York. She stated she wasn't booked on Howard's show. She just walked in and wanted to be a guest on the show.
Right.
And all of that is fine. But the point is, darling, you're on our show all the time. You were in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You're 2 hours away by train.
Right.
You are within spitting distance. You could at least call us and let us know that the actress who's terrified to fly has in fact flown across the country and after being out partying all night shows up on Howard's door unannounced and begs to get on his show.
Right, exactly.
You know, so that's why I don't want
That's why we're signing with Evan Marriott.
Don't want to say
from
she's
now on.
A simply charming lad.
Don't want to say she's dead to us.
No, she's not.
She's not.
She's
dead
not.
To
not
her.
By a long shot.
Dynamite. Hello. She's.
We'll still go out to L.A. and eat at Vivian's.
She's in a coma, though, to us. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike. What's up?
I tell you what, that goddamn bachelor party's off, though.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. I think so.
That was kind of a.
Yeah.
He's not vigorous.
Hello. Hello.
Don and Mike, Radio Gods.
Hey.
I'm in Iowa City, Iowa, and I found out today that Evan Marriott's coming to the Penguins Comedy Club here to do a question and answer spell. So he's doing a little tour thing. They're charging like over $20 a pop, so he's making some good cakes.
Yeah, what he's doing.
We just heard that for the one he's doing in D.C., he's getting $15,000.
Mm-hmm. That's how he's making his money right now.
In 3 hours.
A little world tour.
So
he's doing a little question and answer thing.
More power to him, my friend.
Yeah.
Someday he'll earn as much as Mike and I do for doing those appearances.
And I bet, you know, based on the mood he was on this show, I bet he'll be in a pretty good mood when he gets to Iowa City.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, Radio Gods.
Hi there. Oh, hold on. We got to get to Buzz. Hold on. Hold just a second here.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
Buzz.
He made it up.
I know what your lead story is, Buzz.
Yes? What is it?
Tomorrow I'm going to be in Disneyland.
Well, if I'd known that, it would have been the lead.
Try to contain your enthusiasm.
With my mother-in-law.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be great.
No offense to my mother-in-law. I love her.
The look on her face when she sees it.
We're going to Disneyland.
Maybe you'll see Mr. Eisner and Smith.
We're going to Disneyland. God damn. It's my spring vacation.
Yeah.
I thought you were looking forward to it.
Don, it's the happiest place on earth.
I know.
Hey, you know what you ought to do?
Yeah.
Go to the driving thing. Go to the NASCAR thing. You'll love it.
Yeah.
Seriously, get in the car. Learn to drive. Learn to drive NASCAR.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm sure somehow I managed to have a good time. Hey, are you still there?
Yep.
Yeah, what can we do for you?
Oh, just wanted to roll a movie idea by for Joe Millionaire. I've got the perfect Joe Millionaire, Randy Quaid, National Lampoon.
All right, thank you. I guess just hanging up on you would be sufficient. Buzz?
Yes.
Your lead story today?
Today, Christopher Reeve begins to smell.
Yeah. Like what? You know what? God, there's so many.
Yes, exactly.
Did you hear about this? This is pretty significant.
What, does someone changes
it's
whatever it is that he sits on?
This man over here will have all the answers for you.
All right, I'm in the dark on this.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments. Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was all very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Complicated in its simplicity. The Don and Mike Show.
Buzz Gertler News now brought to you by Duramax Textual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. It's doctor developed.
Someone called for a doctor.
Clinically tested Duramax works. Available at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Duramax 1-888 Try VMAX. Now, the webmaster, FrankGorshin.com. Here's Buzz Perfect.
Hi, Don and Mike.
You know, there is such a site.
I'm not surprised.
Rob found it, FrankGorshin.com.
I'm not surprised.
Should have heard those two boys talking about that website.
They're excited.
Yeah, I felt like I was at one of those shows. I really did.
Basement of the Science Building?
I thought I was at one of those card shows that they have.
Yeah, well, I know what you mean.
And then I wrote him back. A former Superman.
Well, no, Rob wrote him a fake email.
I understand. I understand. It was interesting hearing you talk about the color of the suit. No, just so you know, sometimes I just eavesdrop here, and it's you know, it's no surprise why you guys are buddies. Yeah, it's just you know, it's interesting stuff. I really have nothing to offer in those conversations.
They are off once
You're a better Riddler than Turbine John Astin.
Ready to move out.
Both Rob and I were concerned. We were the only people who watched the Batman thing on CBS last weekend.
Right.
That the Batman suit that the guy was wearing was the wrong color.
Which, the
guy who was playing Adam West.
It's true, though.
It was the wrong color. And at the time, it was in Ocean City, and I couldn't really look at it correctly. I TiVo'd it, and when I got back home, I watched it again. And
was it in the right color?
I called Robin. I said, no, you're right. The suit was the wrong color.
It was the wrong color. And understand that the email to Frank Gorshin was a ball-busting email.
I understand. Okay. There's no need to be defensive. It's just funny. When you're on the outside looking in at that, it's just kind of an interesting discussion.
John Astin also played the Riddler.
I understand.
But anyway, it's the Don and Mike website of the week, frankgorshin.com.
So it wasn't the Riddler's outfit that was the wrong color.
No, the Riddler outfit was good.
It was the Batman outfit that was the wrong color.
I wasn't, in my eavesdropping, I wasn't paying close enough attention.
Shame on you.
But, yes, speaking of superheroes in costumes, former Superman Christopher Reeve is determined to recover from the accident that made him a quadriplegic.
Someone called for a doctor?
He was paralyzed after falling off a horse 8 years ago. This week, he had surgery on his diaphragm. Doctors,
someone called for a doctor?
The doctors implanted electrodes that may someday allow him to breathe without a respirator.
Someone called for a doctor?
It's already helped him begin to regain his sense of smell. Quoting him, I actually woke up and smelled the coffee. He can also now speak more normally. Reeves says after the fall, he immediately focused on walking again, and he says
Captain Wayne!
Buzz, when did you have the electrodes implanted in your diaphragm?
it's been one of my recent surgeries.
Okay.
He says he wants what's being done for him to help other paralysis victims as well.
Curse of Superman.
Yes.
That's right. The other guy committed suicide, right?
George Reeves, right.
But this one's improving.
Would the curse of Batman be the ratings that show got the other night?
Yeah.
Absolutely. The Dixie Chicks have ticked off a lot of their fans by making political comments.
Well, listen, Buzz, I know about this story. I'm not going to jump too far ahead.
Okay.
Let me just say, I do believe that these comments were influenced by the fact that they are currently doing a European tour.
Absolutely.
Bonjour.
And also, I think it's the shorter blonde. One of her eyes leans way to the left.
I knew
Rob has always maintained that they're all cross-eyed.
The singer Natalie Maines told a London audience this week, just so you know, we're ashamed the President of the United States is from Texas. Phone calls began to flood country music stations with listeners demanding a boycott of the Chicks' music. The trio has since issued a statement saying they've been overseas for several weeks and, quote, the anti-American sentiment is astounding.
Hello, is this U.S. 97? Would ye stop playing the Dixie Chicks?
I heard them say something about the President. I am not entirely happy with your radio station. Take them off now, especially the one with the cross eyes.
Their statement continues. While we support our troops, there is nothing more frightening than the notion of going to war and all the innocent lives that will be lost. For herself, Natalie says she made her comment in frustration, which is something she says Americans are free to do.
You know...
I don't want to get... you guys, you're assuming your hawk-like posture there.
Here's the thing.
Arms folded.
All you celebrities... Shut the F up about the war. Really.
Okay.
Why? You know what? Entertain.
Yeah.
Make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Sing a song that I put on my CD player.
Right.
Make a good TV show. Otherwise, shut the firehouse up.
Yeah.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Peace, brother.
Whatever. Whatever.
John Travolta has a message for the people of Baltimore, and it's not about the war. His message for the people of Baltimore, and I quote, anyone who has a building they want to burn should let us know. The actor's in Baltimore filming a firefighter movie called Ladder 49. Quoting him again,
right.
There'll be plenty of fires in the city.
God, you could go anywhere.
There will also be jobs, about 1,300 jobs, according to the producers. City officials say it's the biggest movie ever to be made in Charm City, which beat out Philadelphia and Toronto as locations as well. The drama's due out early next year. Was World War II caused by...
Did you hear it?
Yes. Don and I always been the greatest phlegm detectors in the world?
Absolutely. And I'm always so thankful.
You always think we're not hearing it, but we always do.
No, I know you
and
are.
At that time, really, we were just kind of waiting to look at each other to see who heard the
phlegm. How bad it was going to get.
And we both heard the phlegm.
You just had a little bit that came up.
Yeah, just a little.
I usually wait for your cue on that one when you go...
I always know you hear it. It's just a question of whether or not you're going to say anything.
No, we're not going to say anything about it.
Very good.
Why bother with that?
I feel much better now. Was World War II caused by syphilis? Hitler's syphilis.
Wow.
It's been proposed before that the behavior of Adolf Hitler might have been influenced by the advance of the sexually transmitted disease. Syphilis mostly affects the brain. A new book says there's evidence this happened to Hitler. It points out that he had some of the key symptoms. Encephalitis, dizziness, neck pustules, chest pain, an accentuated heartbeat, and paranoid rages.
Wow.
Thank you.
These symptoms were reported by Hitler's personal physician, Dr. Theodore Morell. Historians say Hitler was fixated on syphilis, calling it a Jewish disease.
Wow.
Clink! Clink! Hitler has the Jewish disease.
Yes, in a bull carter. Beware, send me to the Russian front.
He's dripping and oozing, Clink.
That's why he's got those neck pustules.
Syphilis.
Our Ray Romano...
Where's the song?
There it is, General Carter. We're yodeling.
I love this one, Clink.
And I'm sorry you're not, General Carter. You're Major Hawkshead.
Are Ray Romano and Kevin James ready for the big screen? Is the big screen ready for them?
Hold on. Let me check my sources.
No.
Columbia Pictures is talking to both the CBS Monday Night sitcom stars about a comedy called Scared Guys, produced by Adam Sandler.
Click, click.
They would play roommates who are racing...
Click, click, click.
...racing to a police station to try to stop a contract killing.
Go faster, Raymond.
Click.
The police station is just across the street, but their characters both have agoraphobia, which is fear of leaving the house.
I don't want to leave. Patty
Click.
Heaton.
Click.
Click.
A Texas man is literally in the doghouse, I mean really living there. The man accused of mistreating his 11-year-old stepson was ordered yesterday to spend 30 days in that doghouse.
You know, I love it when judges make
it's great.
Rulings like this.
What judges ought to do?
Well, there was one reason some guy pissed the judge off.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it was. A guy was... But I'm getting off track
here.
I'm
sorry. Fine. Go.
The guy was... kept playing music loud late at night.
Right.
The neighbors kept complaining. The cops come by and write them a citation like $5. Mm-hmm. The guy had like 50 of these things. The judge finally said, I am so pissed at you. You're going to sit in a room for 3 hours and you're going to listen to the best of Barry Manilow and we're going to turn these speakers on as loud as they can possibly go. Now that's using your noodle.
Sure, he won't there will be no recidivism.
I read about a judge recently who, one of the defendants wouldn't shut up in the courtroom, so they had the bailiff duct tape the guy's mouth shut.
Here's Radio 156, Headline News.
And now we have another story like this.
We do indeed. In fact, in this case, actually, the judge gave the guy a choice of living in the doghouse or 30 days in jail. The idea was born out of the boy's accusation that his father made him sleep outdoors in a doghouse. The boy later took back that part of the story, but says he was whipped with a car antenna. By choosing the doghouse, the stepdad can continue his work as a foreman at a demolition company.
Wow.
Okay, hold on. Hold on just a second, Buzz.
Yes?
We got to do a break.
Yeah, I know.
We got to do a break.
We're just digesting that whipped with a car antenna.
Even
a doghouse.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Addicted to elective cosmetic surgery. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Yeah, well, don't forget Buzz in that.
Right. Someone called for a doctor?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. A former flight attendant is in trouble for spiking a kid's apple juice. The kid wouldn't stop crying. So Dan Cunningham allegedly crumbled up an antidepressant pill, Xanax, and put it in the child's drink.
And that is wrong because...
Xanax is used to treat panic attacks and anxiety. Its side effects include lightheadedness, fatigue, and drowsiness. Lightheadedness.
Lightheadedness.
Too many syllables. It is not FDA approved for kids. It was a long flight, Amsterdam to New York.
Wow.
The child's mother says she noticed how upset the crying was to the flight attendant. And that she noticed blue specks and foam in the apple juice.
Ooh.
The former Northwest Airlines employee denies the charges, but he's also charged with importing over 100 tablets of Xanax and Valium into this country on a different flight back in October.
And that's wrong because...
Attention, Mike O'Mara.
Now listen, just give me that last thing.
Yes.
Who out there, what parent out there, hasn't NyQuil'd their kid once?
Oh. Tylenol.
At least once.
On a flight to Phoenix, Arizona. I'm guilty. Guilty as charged. I forgot what it was. It was a, it was an infant thing, a Tylenol thing, and it was, you know.
You're messing around. Codeine.
Pure liquid codeine.
Or just champagne hard liquor.
Glass.
Yeah.
Champagne glass.
Attention, Mike O'Mara. Producers in Chicago say they're looking for guys who look, sound, or dance like the late nightclub singer Sammy Davis Jr.
Hey, I'm there.
Well, let me see. Oh, you sound like him.
Yes, I do. And I look... Come on.
And he dances like him.
Who can make the sun rise? Sprinkle it with dew. Cover it with chocolate. Rob, and a miracle or two.
Who?
The Candyman.
Who?
The Candyman can.
The Sammy Search hopes to find just the right guys to star in a new musical about his life.
Altabees, could I have another lozenge, please?
The play's called Mr. Bojangles, after a song.
Mr. Bojangles.
It was recorded.
Too bad he didn't have a glass ear.
The Search officially starts next month, but the producers say they wanted to get the word out
everybody.
Early.
Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody.
God.
Come on, everybody.
I can't do
this. All right, everybody.
All right, everybody.
The Candyman is here. What kind of candy you want? Sweet chocolate, chocolate malt, candy, gumdrops, anything you want.
How you doing, One Eye?
Man, because I'm the Candyman.
That's a drug reference.
You can make the sunrise.
Click.
The shows will run in casinos across the country and feature a complete Sammy experience, including displays of his distinctive jewelry and Nehru jackets.
Don't you think I was simply going to ignore that ad? Now I'm going to audition.
Good for you.
Thank you, Buzz.
Altavis.
Altavis, is there an outside shop I could get some more apple juice?
Rod Roddy says, come on down and get your colon examined. The Price is Right announcer is now the official spokesman for the National Colorectal Cancer Research Alliance.
Well, he's the man for it.
That's because, yes, he had a tumor the size of an orange in his colon 2 years ago.
Last play.
Oh, wow.
It was
man.
Discovered.
Last play.
Get this, it was discovered accidentally.
This is not the best orange. I've ever done. This is the best orange juice I've ever had. There are pulps. And my orange juice.
The tumor in his colon was discovered accidentally while he was getting treatment for a knee injury.
How's that knee, Mr. Roddy? let's just examine that knee, and you know, I noticed there seems to be an orange-sized bone.
Oh, Roddy.
It's a new armoire.
As you have to always have the other knee. The price is wrong, bitch.
Doctors say the big tumor could have been prevented if Roddy hadn't avoided a screening for 13 years. He didn't want to cleanse his colon before the exam, quoting him, I didn't want to sit on the toilet for a day. But Rod says Bob Barker won't let him do public service announcements about this on the show. Quote, Bob says one charitable message is enough.
I am in charge, and it's spaying and neutering your pets, Rod. Rod, all the farting won't stop me from saying spay and moving your pets.
The latest thing you can supersize is a nipple. Plastic surgeons report that over 500 women had their nipples enlarged last year.
This little girl had knockers.
A doctor who does a half dozen of these a year says his patients like the teasing look of an erect nipple at all times.
Mm-hmm.
More than 40 men had the procedure as well.
Oh, now that's gross.
The doc says they are generally nipple fetishists who just want big nips. The doctor uses collagen to fatten the areola and a pinch of ear cartilage for that erect nipple look. But doctors say they still do more nipple reductions than enlargements because so many people are self-conscious about theirs.
It just doesn't get any better than this.
No, it doesn't.
I like that. I mean, that'd be a nice anniversary present for my wife.
In sports...
Honey, I bought you new nipples.
former Philly star Tug McGraw is still in the hospital, and details are sketchy. We don't know why. The Phils say the former star reliever is in stable condition, undergoing neurological evaluation. The 58-year-old helped the Mets and Philadelphia win their World Series titles. He's been a spring training instructor for the past couple of years in Philadelphia.
Best of luck to the son of war.
And boat. Yes. And finally, a casino worker in Colorado was too fat for the pocketless uniform casinos that the casinos make their employees wear.
Oh, I know.
He stands 5'8".
You're not going to believe this.
Weighs 280 pounds. So instead of the uniform, they let him wear sweatpants.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
Now they've let him go because he stole thousands of dollars in paper money from the slot machines and stuffed it into the sweatpants they let him wear. The best estimate, $160,000. He has to pay back at least that much. He'll be on probation for the next 12 years. Too bad he has a good name for a casino worker. Leonard Craps.
Hey.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No!
That's it. We gotta go. We'll be gone a couple of days. See you when we get back. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you in a few days. Love you, Frieden. Love you, Bart. Good day to you, sir.
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 Hey, and...
someone called for a doctor?
Linus.
Are you sure it shouldn't be the size of an orange?
B.M. Eaters.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis here, just saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.